call from mom. Answer it. Call silence.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, brand new podcast. It's the B-Man. I'm thinking about changing my nickname.
To the B-Man?
No, Double Dribble.
Double Dribble?
Yeah, it's a joke you ever
Are
heard.
You drooling a lot?
No, Jesus Christ. last night was touch and go for the B-Man. I'm having panic attacks. I think it's from drinking again.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to...
fucking up your chemicals.
I think so, and I think I partied really hard on the Impractical Jokers cruise. Dude, shout out to Sal, Joe, Murr, and Q for allowing me to go on that cruise. The Impractical Jokers guys are cool as shit, and that was a fucking blast. I was there with Ari. Rich Voss makes me laugh harder than any one human being because he's everything's a bit with him. I really wish that I could live near him and Bonnie so that we could hang out with them, because I think you and Bonnie grew up very, very similar. Okay. I got to get Bonnie on the podcast. I want Rich on the podcast. I want Bonnie on the podcast. We were just making a list of people we wanted to podcast with.
Yeah, I don't have a
Why didn't I do a podcast with Rich when I was on the fucking boat?
Stupid.
I did do a podcast with Mike Vecchione and Ari and Sam Morrell, but no one will ever hear that. So,
why?
First of all, Ari's mic was out the entire time, so you just hear Ari whispering in the background. Second of all, I got way too drunk. I got way too drunk on the Impractical Jokers cruise, but I had a great time. And so thank you, everyone that bought me shots, the hundreds of you on the cruise that bought me shots. Mm. I'm not doing shots anymore.
Mm-mm.
I think they fucked my voice up. That's the main reason. And I feel like I'm dying the next day. So
sounds awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where we're at. Well, what did I want to talk to you about? I wanted to talk to you about something, but I can't remember what it was. I was like, oh, let's talk about that on the podcast.
Oh, it was about that Brené Brown book. I don't know if you want to talk about that still.
What was it?
It was called, I went to see her speak the other night about her new book, and it was about the polarization of our country, and that we're more polarized than ever. And that was a fact that she had come up with based on polling, remember?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Oh, that we used to live in different countries. We used to live with different people with different ideas. Now we all live with the same people with the same ideas.
Correct. We are migrating to communities where everybody's like-minded. So anybody outside that community is no longer humane, is no longer human. Apparently. So then you have the right to tweet or do whatever you want to completely defame their character, tear them to pieces because they are no longer in your circle of morality because they don't think the way you do. Where in like the 70s, it wasn't like that. And she based a lot of her, she's an evidence-based sociologist. So a lot of her stuff comes from actual data.
I love that. I love when guys do. That's what I loved about Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
Is that he just was based in data.
It was in data,
and,
right.
And that's, you know, in today's society where everyone seems to repost and retweet the things that fall into their mantras these days. I was like, man, I just want data. I don't give a fuck. You know, the New York Times, you told me this. I'm telling you something you told me.
Yes, I did tell you this.
Why don't you tell it to me so you get the victory on
this? Well, Brené Brown's book is called Braving the Wilderness. Anyway.
I might read this book.
It was really good. The whole time I was listening to her talk, I kept thinking Bert should listen to this book because it's a lot of what we talk about people tearing people down on social media.
Ugh.
And about, you know, really the theme of the book is about being alone, being strong and being alone.
My buddy Owen Benjamin is going through that. He was just on Rogan. I've had Owen on the podcast a bunch, but some comics I think went after him and got him to, they lost a gig and he lost his agent and he lost his manager.
That's terrible. Well, you know what, the thing that,
well, he said some stuff they definitely disagreed with.
Well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Another thing she said that was kind
not
of
that,
just,
not that qualifies losing someone a job. I mean, I think freedom of speech, I always think comics should rep comics across the board. I don't know. His is a little stickier of a situation And he talked more in depth about it on Rogan. So if you want to listen to him and Rogan talk about it. That is a much more informed conversation. I'm just giving you tidbits, and I don't know the whole fucking facts.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, a comic is supposed to make you think, right? That's their job. Their job is to take something we see every single day and to have a different take on it so that you can go, never thought about it that way. Well, if a comic just talks about the things you're comfortable with, that's not a comic's job, in my opinion, is to push the boundaries and to ask questions people don't want to ask. And
it's pandering, but I do it somewhat.
What's pandering?
If you just sit there and just say the things you know they'll agree with.
Oh, well, yeah, that's lazy.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. It's not an art form at that point. It's pontification.
I think it's what is wrong with scenes at different times in scenes as comics are simply regurgitating what they know. Like, that was what was wrong with the traditional comedy scene in like the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, was that it was just everyone was doing shit they'd heard before. Everyone was doing their version of that. They were doing the shit that works. By the way, that has gone on in our scene like a lot, and we see it a lot. Those people just don't succeed. It also happened in the alt scene where they were just pandering to say the thing that worked for the guy, the guy that was better than them, the Paul F. Tompkins or Patton Oswalds or David Crosses, the guys who were the forerunners in that scene. They were just regurgitating what was similar to them. I didn't mean to cut you off.
You did. That's okay. Well, I think that can be said for almost any art form. Like, there are only true original artists, and then everybody else that tries to be like those true original artists. But comics, I think, have a very different social responsibility. I actually think they have a social responsibility to say, you know, to make fun of whomever, Donald Trump or whomever, so that perhaps the people who don't like Donald Trump can see a few things differently. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not about just preaching to your audience's voice entirely.
I always find that it's fun to go against the grain.
Yeah.
And find something that I don't think my fans will agree with. Not fans, that sounds arrogant, but the people that have come to see me that I don't think they'll agree with at first. And then try to get them to agree on it. But I think then there's other comics that is their whole thing, is say the thing no one agrees with, and then that gets predictable in and of itself. You got, I don't know, vary it up, whatever.
Well, that's what a comic's job is, I think, is to present something that your audience disagrees with and then to take them down a path where they go, oh, okay, I see that a little differently now. I think that's actually part of your social responsibility to some degree. Not that you are Mother Teresa by any means, but that's part of the function of comedy, is so we can laugh at things that are uncomfortable. And laughter creates change. And if we can't laugh at things that are uncomfortable, we can't create change.
Yeah.
It's not the only agent of change, but I think it is a very important one.
My podcast is here.
And there's my soapbox.
Hey, what's up? Come on in. He comes in the middle of a fucking podcast all the goddamn time.
I think I took all of it.
Okay.
Okay.
I just left a little
chickens are.
Okay. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate
it. Thursday? Yes. Okay, you'll be back Thursday? This podcast is brought to you by GoFundMe. Just kidding. It's brought to you by Troop 13376.
Sort of.
The Silver Award. If you want, go to the GoFundMe. I appreciate everyone. I did an intro for it yesterday. My daughter and her Girl Scout troop are doing and if this sounds all choppy and all over the place, it's my fault. And I'll explain in 2 seconds. But if they're doing a GoFundMe to get water fountains in their school.
Refillable water bottle stations.
And so if you just want to support, they did a read for it last week. I won't play that read for you again. But go to this GoFundMe.com/Troop13376 Silver Award. That's all one word.
The Silver Award is a really big deal in Girl Scout Troop. And they're working so hard on it. I'm so proud of them. They've raised $2,125 so far. But their goal is $10,000. So if anybody, even if you give $5, we so appreciate it. They are so excited to have raised this much already. Thank you, everybody who's donated. Thank you so much.
And I think Leanne will probably want to tell you, go to burtburt.com.
Yes. We have a new website that I built myself.
Yeah, on a very popular website building app that we would love to talk more about.
Yes, if they'd like to advertise on our podcast. But I built it myself.
I don't mind telling them. It's Squarespace. They've been a sponsor of the podcast before, and We talked about them so much. This isn't an ad for them.
No.
This is just, it's a good product. Leanne did the entire website. So go check out our things. Go check out the website.
Yeah.
So go
I'm
check
really
out.
Proud of myself. I'm so proud of myself because I don't even have a Twitter account and I built a website. It was pretty awesome.
She built it all on Squarespace.
By myself. So. But there's, you know, the usual t-shirts and whatever, but we have hoodies, machine hoodies, that are going to be available by the end of this week. They're not on the website yet because my supermodel, Bert Kreischer, hasn't taken a picture in the hoodie yet. So they'll be up and running and available by the end of the week. There's also posters from recent shows. If you went to a show and you didn't get to buy a poster for St. Louis or Houston, where else? You were just in
a lot of places.
A lot of places. Go check it out, and you can buy a poster. You can buy mugs for the BurtCast, t-shirt for the BurtCast. All this you can buy at BurtBurtBurt.com.
You can also see tour dates for this weekend in Irvine, the 9th, 10th, and 11th of November. Tampa, the 16th, 18th, and 17th. On the 19th, I'm running the St. Pete Run Fest. So if you want to sign up with me, go run a half marathon with me on the 19th of November. Oh, fuck. That is 2 weeks. That is less than 2 weeks away.
Ooh, la la.
I got a lot of training to do.
You do.
Not be running that. Anyway, Calusa Casino on the 1st, and Wheeler Walker Jr. is... I'm sorry. Calusa Casino is on the 1st. Yeah, it's on the 1st. Wheeler Walker Jr. is on the 3rd. That is who we'll be talking to in a couple of minutes. I'm going to be more clear about that. But Comedy Store La Jolla, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Spokane Comedy Club, 14, 15, 16. West Palm Beach, 29, 30, 31. New Year's Eve in West Palm Beach. I also have to say that the Wilbur is almost sold out. That date is on February 3rd. So it is almost sold out. Depending on how quickly that sells out, we'll add another one. The Trocadero is entirely sold out. So we are adding.
Is it really?
I think 3 shows have been sold.
Wow.
So I think we're going to add another show. I'm not sure to when.
That's amazing, babe. Yeah. Congrats.
Thank you. Comedy
That's
Zone
awesome.
In Charlotte coming up. Morty's.
The dates are on BurtBurtBurt.com, yeah, and there's a link to buy tickets for all the dates.
So Philly, if you want, I think we're going to be shooting a special there. I don't know. I can't really say that yet because we haven't really sold it yet. So if you work for someone who buys specials, just make
Shut
a
up.
Fucking decision, please. This podcast is also brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand is an online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a wide variety of highly effective, world-class workouts. Leanne, what is one of the ones that you will be doing in 2 months?
The 21-day
fix.
Fix, that's right. Because my friend Lynn and I are going to start like January 2 for 21 days.
That was a conversation I got into trouble for today.
Because he laughed at me for waiting 6 weeks. But I'm like, it's unrealistic to start a 21-day, like you do this regimented diet and exercise plan for 21 days straight. Well, it's Thanksgiving in less than 21 days. And then after that, it's going to be Christmas and all the holidays. It's crazy. I'd be setting myself up for failure. So we're going to start the workout and then really start the 21, like legit 21 day fix on January 2nd.
Yes. And so just so you know, this is a world-class workout personalized for your needs, plus extensive nutritional content, all proven to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. You can find step-by-step program guides, workout calendars, nutritional plans, innovative portion control focused on cooking shows, fixate, and the motivation to support a growing community. This is every fucking workout thing you've ever seen. Just get this offer and go on and explore it. That is what you will get out of this.
What's even better is that it's really affordable.
It's really affordable. I think it's $100 for the year.
It's $100 a year.
And that, by the way, and for me, I'm a traveling comic. So what I do is I go in, I do beast mode. I go into the gym in the hotel. I have wireless headsets. I have the Bose wireless headsets. So I literally put it on and I listen to him do the workout with him. And I listen to him and I do the workout with him. That guy's my favorite. He makes me giggle so fucking hard.
The beast up guy?
The beast up, man. Beast up, bro. They've got P90X, Insanity, the 21-day fix, T25, 3-day yoga retreats, Pio. They've got everything. And like I've said, they've got cooking shows. They've got shows on nutrition. It really is. Tony Horton's on here. He does this podcast workout thing, which I think is of the future. If I was if I can get, when I was doing all that yoga, I was like, man, we should be podcasting these. Because if I had these on a podcast, I could do these. I could do them by myself. I could do these podcasts. Like, but I think what Tony Horton's doing is next level. I really, he does these like long form. He just videotape them working out, and you can work out with them. And it's kind of like listening to a podcast. Rogan should be doing something like that. That's, I would do that. Cool. I'd work out with Rogan.
Totally.
And just listen to him do kettlebells.
Right.
Yeah. And just be him, just walk through it in the morning and just live stream it to YouTube.
That's really smart. You should tell him that.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
He's probably already going to do it. This is a brand new service, but it already has over a million members. My listeners right now can claim a free trial membership. All you have to do is text BERT to 313131. Text BERT to 313131 and get full access to this entire platform for free. You heard what I just said. Check it out for free. Text BERT.
BERT.
To 313131 and you can check out all the shit they have to offer. Trust me, when we did this, this is what got us into it. Because we were like, holy shit, they've got everything. That's where I started watching all the Tony Horton ones.
For $99, it's amazing.
But you don't have to pay the $99 right now. Yeah. You can go on, text BERT to 313131 and access the platform for free. See if it's something you like. If you've ever heard of P90X or Insanity, see if it's something you want. By the way, I am looking at the P90X DVDs and they're literally 2 inches thick, 3 inches thick. They're all on this platform. That's all I'm going to say. After doing all the yoga, I noticed my arms were getting a little shallow. And, dude, I've just ripped off this guy's workout. Sometimes I don't even go, I just stole this great workout he does, his arms. And sometimes I'll morph it. I'll do like a shoulders, arms, and backs. And I ended up buying all the weights. They're in the man cave. I love this. I love Beachbody. I think it's the future.
It really is great.
And all the shit we do, because we're all the same. You know, I'm a podcast listener first and foremost. I like to have everything within my 3-point thumb range. And so that's how I can access things. If it's a game, if it's a podcast, if it's my workout, if it's a running app, if it's anything, that's how I do it. And this is right up there. By the way, you can also download these workouts and save them into your phone. I'm telling you, this is a service I genuinely fucking use, and I stand behind it. Beachbody. Beachbody. Text BERT, B-E-R-T, to 3131 to get access for the entire platform for free. This podcast is also brought to you by another product I'm a ride or die motherfucker on. I'm almost afraid to even say the name because you know it by heart. Blue Apron. Dude, I fucking love Blue Apron. It is the reason I will have great kids. It has brought our family so much together. So those of you that don't know, Blue Apron, let me just do a read for anyone who's like, wait, hold on. This is my first time listening because I'm a Wheeler Walker Jr. fan. Blue Apron is the number one meal delivery, recipe delivery service in the country. It is phenomenal. They send you fresh meals every week. We get two a week, and all the meals are cheap. They're under $10. They are fantastic, fresh cooked meals that you can cook at home. They say a family that cooks together gets closer, and we believe it wholeheartedly. We do at least two Blue Aprons a week where the whole family sits together and we try something new. This offer is a little different, and thank God it's coming in November. Now, everybody, you can expand your wine palette with Blue Apron's wine boxes.
Okay, I have a lot to say about this. Go ahead.
With Blue Apron, there are no wine leftovers. Blue Apron's slightly smaller wine bottles make it easy to de-stress in the evening and wake up the next morning with a clear head to power through the rest of the week. Just $10 a bottle. Never get overwhelmed at a wine store again. Discover 6 new wines monthly from Napa, Bordeaux, and beyond. You can customize each box with styles and varieties you love. Blue Apron's custom tasting notes teaches you how to identify flavors and aromas in each wine. Blue Apron makes learning about wine fun by giving you the who, what, and where of the wines they send.
So can I talk
Please.
About this? Okay. So we got this box of 6 wines. They're smaller than a normal bottle, which for me was awesome because I'm usually by myself and I only drink like 1 glass of wine with dinner. And then I feel bad to pour the whole bottle out. But this is like 3.5 glasses of wine in a bottle, which is, if I drink 3 glasses of wine a week, that's a lot for me. So that I liked, that it was not a big bottle. I also like that the wine comes with like a catalog, so you can look up the region this was grown in, what the flavors are of the wine, what the aroma is of the wine, what foods you could pair it with. So if you've always wanted to learn about wine, I grew up in rural Georgia. I don't know nothing about wine. If it wasn't Boone's Farm, I'd never heard of it. So this is a great way to learn about the different regions of wine in California and also France.
Look, if you're a young kid and you're just figuring out life and these podcasts have changed the way you're living your life, you started to work out more, you got introduced to marijuana, but I know that these podcasts changed the way we live. Some of you guys just got into hot yoga. Some of you guys did Sober October with us or did a couple months and they inspire you. Look, I can't candidly, I listen to podcasts that only kind of inspire me.
Right.
And so if you want to learn about wine, this is the way to go about it.
I agree. The only way I learned about wine was that I was a waitress for 8 years, and I had to learn about wine. And then when I stopped waitressing, I stopped learning. So I thought, this is amazing because there are wines in here I've never heard of, and I can learn about wine.
And we went through a box with a group of 6 friends, and we actually did a tasting.
Yeah.
We didn't. This was in October, and I didn't taste any
of
them.
I did it. Our friends.
And they were like, these are great. And then they pair them with the foods that you get. And so, you know, for us in October, I wasn't drinking. Leanne wasn't drinking. If I wasn't drinking, our daughters don't drink much.
Shit.
They don't drink at all. And so this is a great thing. Start discovering new wines today. You can get $25 off your first wine box. It's not a box of wine. It's a wine box.
They are bottles
of wine.
Yeah.
You know I love my box wine. Go to blueapron.com/BurtCastWine. blueapron.com/BurtCastWine. That's BERTCASTWINE. Enjoy perfectly sized wines that come with a custom tasting note to help you become a wine aficionado. That's blueapron.com/BurtCastWine. You know I mean this when I say this. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So those are our ads. The podcast is starting. We had to stop because Wheeler Walker Jr. was walking in. And then we did something a little different at the front where Leanne stuck around because we were having this great conversation about what art is and how art should go against the grain, but it should be authentic to who you are as the artist. And Wheeler Walker Jr. does nothing but that. He is doing what the fuck he wants to do in a business that's dictated by people who go, no, you do what we do. And he's taken off. He literally has taken off. So I wanted Leanne to stick around and hear a song, but we got into a conversation and I was kind of off mic and then Leanne was kind of off mic. But you're just trust me that when all the mics, everyone will be on mic in a couple minutes. So if you're having a hard time from hearing someone, just enjoy the fact that it's the nuance of this podcast. But he plays a couple songs and Leanne stuck around because they hit it off. So Leanne is on this entire podcast with Wheeler Walker Jr. and they talk country music. And it is. And by the way, I don't speak much in this podcast because.
Sorry.
Nope. That's when the podcast everyone likes is when I shut the fuck up.
That's not true entirely.
So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, wait, real quick. Do you have a real quick? Do we have any of? Let me announce some of Wheeler Walker Jr.'s dates. We do it on the podcast, but
we know December 3rd is in.
He's doing a West Coast run. December like. 2nd, 3rd, 4th,
the third,
whatever.
It's 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah. So he's doing a run those dates. We'll announce it in the podcast. You'll hear it in the podcast. Leanne does a read for it. So, these are his dates. Leanne does a much better read of these later. But Sunday, December 3rd at the Novo downtown in Los Angeles. Monday, the 4th in the Observatory North Park in San Diego. Tuesday, the 5th of December, the Observatory Santa Ana, California, and Wednesday the 6th at the Van Buren in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a little run he's doing, and we're out here promoting it. I'll make sure to recap this the first week of December to let sure everyone know. But and also for those of you who don't know, Wheeler Walker Jr., you've heard him on Rogan, you've heard him on Joey. He's been on this podcast. His album, Old Wheeler, is just tore up the charts with hits like Pussy King and Puss in Boots and Finger Up My Butt and Summers in Kentucky, Drunk Sluts. He plays that one for us. And Poon. Just
Poon.
He's fucking awesome. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. I hope you have a great week. Bender November is in full effect. I'm going over to Rogan's right now to do a podcast with Tommy, Ari, and those guys. So go check that out. But without further ado, this week's podcast, Wheeler Walker Jr. and Leanne Kreischer and Bert Kreischer. I wanted Leanne to stick around, and because we had this great conversation about pushing boundaries and being different, and the guy we're having on today is so fucking different than anyone, and he's really changed. She's going to be walking around the corner any second. He'll be here any second, and
he's
the podcast will start.
What?
The changed a bunch of shit. Hold on.
But what's his real name?
Leanne, his real name is Wheeler Walker Jr.
That's not true.
Leanne, just come on in. Fuck yeah, he's here. He's here.
No idea.
Come on in, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, good, good, good. You know my wife, Leanne. Have you guys met? So we just keep all of this in. It's going to be a little bizarre, but we were just having this great conversation. Sit right over here. And we were having this great conversation about, and I asked you to bring your guitar today because I haven't got you to sing on the podcast, but and I hate to rush you into this, but Leanne was just talking about an artist's responsibility to not just preach to the choir and to go against the grain, and that going against the grain is what art is. I said, that's so fitting. She just went and saw this lady talk about it. I said, it's so fitting. Wheeler Walker Jr. is coming in, and he has done nothing but go against the grain.
That's my whole career. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because while we're recording this, tomorrow night is the CMA Awards, like the Country Music Awards, the biggest country music award show of the year. And I found out just recently that I did a duet called Fucking Around.
Yeah,
and I wrote it with my buddy Shane, who's like on the CMA board. He called me a couple weeks ago, and this is the kind of stuff I hate. I don't want any part of it. And he said he was at a meeting, and they go, "We got a problem here. Vocal event of the year." Anybody know this guy Wheeler Walker Jr.? Because what do we? Because they go, he's about to be nominated, and they go, it goes by top to bottom, you know, they just keep voting until the last nomination. He's about to be nominated, and what do we do if he gets nominated? Because he's a couple votes away. And my buddy Shane raises his hand. He's like, "Yeah, I co-wrote this song." And they're like, "Oh, crap, you know, this is legit." So just knowing I think what happened, I mean, I've got a lot of fans in the industry who just kind of like that I'm pushing it. I think a lot of people just saw a bad word and probably,
yeah,
clicked it. I mean, again, I want no part of it. And like I'm saying, tomorrow night's the biggest night for country musicians in America. And I would love to. Part of me, I mean, I'm real happy I don't have to be at that stupid show.
Yeah.
But part of me would have been nice to just like walk down that red carpet and stick my middle finger up at every single person.
Well, I think Leanne's. I don't know how. Are you familiar with his work?
No.
So. If we could, while we have Leanne, I was wondering maybe if you could just play a little something for her to get her accustomed with what you do.
You know what? We got a new video coming out called "Pictures on My Phone." Do you know that song?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll play. Why don't I play that for you?
Okay. Would you be cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like all my stuff. It's like
you're still recording, right, Halston? Okay, good. Yeah, Halston will set you up. He's got the mic so that we can get your guitar on this. I think this. But yeah, this is a real treat because what was the name of the lady you saw speak?
Brene Brown. She wasn't talking about this specifically.
She was talking about how people have found that the people move into sections of society and then don't, they all think alike.
That, like-minded. We're all gravitating toward
everyone in South Florida thinks carry permit. That's a bad example, probably.
Yeah, it's funny because I did Joey last night, Joey's podcast, and we were talking about the same thing about just like how much easier our lives had been. You know, he was using the example of. So I
need
to get in the mic.
So. No. It's picking up a little bit. It's picking up the fucking blower. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But Joey was talking about, you know, when he tried to put on the suit and, you know, go clean and it just wasn't him.
Oh, yeah. It's like, so not Joey, though.
I think it's... exactly. I think it's less to do with going against the grain. I think it's just being yourself. And if being yourself...
Yeah, it's authenticity.
If it's... And country music, more than most places, they can sense that. Like, if I had a clean song that I wanted to sing, I'd sing it. Just right now, paying for my own album and stuff, and this is what comes out, I'm not going to censor it, you know? To try to get on the radio, that I'm not going to get on anyway.
So then what happened with Q3?
Hey, hang on, Leanne. Wait one second. Here, why don't you sit here, Leanne?
Why? It's your podcast.
No,
it's yours. It's yours now.
Take a shower. Here.
So I'll sit right next to you.
Okay.
What happened to Hank 3?
All the outlaws in the country are friends of his. So he knows all these guys.
Yeah, I don't know Hank 3 that well, but yeah, he, I mean, he's someone who probably pushed harder than me, and he, you know, he battled his label to get out of his deal, I believe. And, yeah, he's just not, he's got his own thing. I mean, he's his own. There's country music, there's this, there's that, and then there's Hank 3. There's that, he's got his own thing.
Okay. I know. The one album, I have one of his albums that is so good.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's awesome. But, yeah, if you don't play by Nashville's rules, they don't want a part of you.
Exactly. You know? But it doesn't sound like you play by Nashville's rules.
I don't, but, I mean, I do the opposite of, you know, what I'm supposed to do. But I also, for whatever reason, seem to know a lot of these people, and they... And it's kind of bothered me, to be honest, is that I've become like a... It's like cool for like such and such artists to say, oh, I'm friends with Wheeler Walker Jr. Mm-hmm. But then I get pissed, you know, because I'm like, why don't you tweet about me or put on my t-shirt instead of just like telling your friends, you know, it's like... I don't like being hip at all. Like, that bothers me. I don't like the industry, but I also... Nashville's a weird town now because when I kind of grew up there and my mom's from there and... When she was a kid, it was just a southern town where you would maybe run into Crystal Gayle or something.
Right.
Now it's Vegas.
It's a mecca, right?
And it's like there's East Nashville, which is the hipster land, and there's, you know, regular Nashville, Music Row, corporate land, and I'm someone who just I can't fit into either.
Right.
Hipsters think I'm not PC, and the industry thinks I'm, you know, messing with them and using curse words and stuff, which I am, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't. Both are, I think, kind of confused, and neither one wants me. So it's just like you got to find your own way in.
Right.
But it's like you said, it's just authenticity.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's what bothers me so much about country music nowadays is...
It all sounds the same.
Yeah, but there's no authenticity. These people singing are, you know...
They all sound the same.
They all sound the same. And listen, I get it. I don't care where you're from, if you're from Canada, whatever. But don't sing about, you know... Working on the farm or, you know.
Uh-huh. I have a problem with that. Big problem. Because I'm from rural Georgia.
Yeah, that's what Bert was saying on the last podcast.
Yeah, I'm like, you just don't get out of my business is what I feel like. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't.
But I feel like even if you didn't, without reading Wikipedia, just listen to the music, you'd know it's not authentic.
Right.
And it's been just there's such an influx of, like, this really garbage pop music into it.
Totally.
It's like...
Well, pop music all sounds the same to me, too.
Exactly,
there's no unique voices anymore. I mean, Adele is unique, but who else?
I mean, I was actually... Joey and I were talking last night. We both really like Miley Cyrus. Like,
oh, I think she's great.
Yeah, she's
and
great.
And so is her sister,
yeah,
Noah.
I haven't heard her yet, but, I mean, growing up in Kentucky, I mean, Billy Ray was, you know, he was Elvis, you know.
Totally.
But there's I mean, I turn on these... Sorry, I just hit that mic. I turn on these, you know... Occasionally, I'll turn on CMT for the 1 hour a week they play music videos. And I don't know what this is. I always call it like Milli Vanilli with a twang. I don't know what this garbage is. It's just like pop music with a... They're trying to... The best example I heard was a buddy of mine who's a big country music producer was talking about... Which I think is true. It's like everything that's hip in New York and L.A. kind of takes like 10 years to get to Nashville, to the South.
Mm-hmm.
It's in general. And I think that's true. And I think like the beats and the kind of pop music they're doing. Like, it's one, it'd be one thing if they were like Radiohead experimenting with cool new sounds. They're not doing that. They're taking stuff that was hip 10 years. They're taking, like, you know, Milli Vanilli, Vanilla Ice. They're still in that world.
Right.
MC Hammer and shit. Like, just trying to... I think there's a racial issue, too. I think it's just, like, kind of taking this kind of, you know, black music that, and then whitening it up for white, you know, because in some of these people can't, don't want to listen to hip-hop, but what if we put a white face on it and he rapped about beer and trucks and...
With a twang.
Yeah, with a twang. It's like, you know, because Florida Georgia Line is one of the bands I really hate, and they're just... They're on tour right now with Nelly.
What?
They're a country band. They're tour. If you can go see them right now, it's Florida Georgia Line with Backstreet Boys and Nelly.
What?
That's a country show. Yeah, they just did Wrigley Field. I think Nelly got arrested for rape.
Well, that's classy.
But he's still on the tour.
Super classy.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, they want to like they see all the kids nowadays at the Snoop. The kids want these new beats and these new sounds. But I mean, it's the oldest story in the book. You know, it's like. I mean, I love Elvis, but, you know, Elvis was just the white face for black music.
Totally,
and now,
yeah.
And now they found a way to get a white... Countries found a way to get white faces for this new kind of, you know, hip-hop kind of shit.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting perspective. And our daughter, Georgia, every once in a while goes through, like, a two-week phase where she listens to country music. And it's like nails on a chalkboard to me because I'm like, this person sounds just like the last person who will sound like the next person. They're all talking about the same thing. How are you listening to this? But one thing I can say is the women have really good voices. Like,
well, that's true. But the other thing, too, is, with the technology now, that's what bothers me, too. I don't know who's got good voices because they can do anything to them in the studio. I mean,
yeah.
to me, every voice sounds the same because I know friends, again, who've worked on big females. You know, or big stars, just period, not female, but, you know, big stars albums, they'll go out, they'll record, and the man or woman just like, I'm out. You know, fix it. Was I late in the line? Was I early? Move it over. Was I out of tune? Just fix it.
They
you know?
Cheat. It's a cheat.
Yeah, well, it's a cheat as in as much as if you want to go see the concert and you want to, you know,
right.
That's not what, and it's not who the person is. You
right.
Know? I think Taylor Swift is someone who's, I think, in, you know, people kind of notice when you see her concert, she's a little, pitchy, you know, loses pitch here and there, which is normal. People do that all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a guy tell me that, you know, if you really listen to you would never notice, but he claims that Elvis is flat a lot of the time. And I was like, I got to be honest, dude. Like, it sounds good to me, you know. Like,
right.
I don't like if that's flat, you know. But maybe that's what gave him his sound. I don't know. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. Count off. Let's play. It's computerized and everything. They're just making it all. And I know people again who go. Sorry, I'm on a tear right now because you got me worked up. But
sorry.
People go on like label guys stop by. Recording sessions with the little clicker.
Mm-hmm.
That how many beats per second you're playing?
What?
Yeah, and I've had producers stop by and they go by, you know, they have this little ticker and they go, no, you can, the hot shit right now is 128 beats per second. This is 142
beats per minute.
Beats per minute. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
BPM. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Bert knows more about music than me.
No. I'm obsessed with BPMs because of running. So I know what songs are all in the BPMs of 156 because that's a 10-minute mile.
Oh, really? Yeah. But the thing is, that's gone into... But they're like... But they'll come in, they'll go, you know what? The hits these days are 162.
But
and
that's ridiculous. They're keeping people in one lane.
Yeah.
So you have to go down this one lane.
You're with me. I mean,
imagine
going into the studio with fucking... Imagine telling Keith Richards, like, you know...
You got to stay in this lane.
But imagine telling Keith Richards, like, you know, Brown Sugar's a little, you know, you got to speed it up 5 beats per minute, you know. That ain't what the kids want to hear. It's
right.
Like, that's not how music works.
It's not how music works. It's like comedy in a lot of ways in that it has the power to change people's minds about things and make people think about things they wouldn't normally think about. I think music and comedy are similar in that way.
I think I wish I... had put up three. I didn't realize Liam would be here. But
I didn't either.
But I prefer
one of the things I like about what Wheeler does is when I saw Louis' first big special, he had a joke about eating a bag of dicks, which is to any comic is almost like a little you'd be afraid to do it in a club because you're like, wait, is that an easy joke? But what it was great about it is it made Louis laugh. And if it made Louis laugh, it made you laugh. And you realize, oh, I'm signing up for what this guy likes making. Like, you know, like a chef may go, I'm making ratatouille. It's a simple meal, but it's going to bring back a feeling that you're going to love. And that's what I think what you do, which I love. And I'm excited to hear Leanne hear you play since she's never listened to you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, one of the things, it's funny you say that because I was in the studio for my first record and the guy who produces my records does Stapleton stuff and Sturgill Simpson. Like, probably the biggest producer in town. He's become a good buddy of mine. And he uses kind of his session players, kind of the go-to, his go-to Nashville backup band.
Mm-hmm.
And I became really friendly with these guys. And then I'm just playing, it's really traditional country music, but I love these guys so much. So occasionally it's usually not on my lyric sheet. I'll just throw in something crazy to make, I want them to fuck up. I want the drummer to lose beat. He never does, but
right.
I want to throw him off, and I want him to get a laugh. I want the track to end and hear him laughing at the end or something. So it's just me messing with the guys in the band, which is that's just like a local show at a bar or something, and then you just put it out as it is, you know. Because my records both – we have the second record out now. That's both records were each done 3 days of each one. You know, it's like – the songs were recorded in the time it takes to record the song, and then we
moved on.
Yeah, then we're done.
Yeah.
The last one, I didn't even do vocal overdubs. It's just like the vocals I did live sounded good to me, so we just kept them.
That's great.
Which is, I mean, again, you know, everyone doesn't have to be as talented as me. Good luck. But everyone doesn't have to. Listen, I understand why Tim McGraw and Faith Hill aren't doing live albums. You know,
right.
I get it. There's more to it. They got a different type of audience. But at some point, there's got to be something, you know, real you got to grab on, you know, because I was a kid, I used to love like punk rock and listen to that stuff, and there was actually a decent amount of like for where I lived, like a decent amount of like southern punk rock, and these guys, it was my favorite kind of music because it was these guys who would like play punk rock, but they still had their twang.
Mm-hmm.
And they would try to just play pure punk, but they wouldn't stop themselves from doing it would sound like country, it would have a hint of country because it's just all they knew.
Right.
But they were really attached to the feeling and the, you know, the fuck you-ness of punk rock. So it would sound like Johnny Cash sped up to, you know.
To punk speed.
Yeah. But they weren't pretending that they weren't doing like an English accent or something.
Right.
They were just being themselves. Yeah. I mean, then they actually started doing, you know, like Folsom Prison as like, you know, as a punk rock song. So it was
cool.
Yeah. It was really cool to hear.
What was the name of the
band? Well, that band is actually, it's funny. They actually taught me how to. The guitarist is the one who taught me how to play guitar. They were called 9 Pound Hammer, and the guitar player went on to form this band Nashville Pussy, which ended up Nashville Pussy ended up getting a Grammy nomination, which is really funny. But yeah, just local guys from Owensboro, which is outside of Lexington.
How cool!
So yeah. What's the song you have here?
It's called Pictures on My Phone. It's my new. It's got a clean title, but it's not. It's the new record is a lot about my first tour and about how, you know, because I'm getting older, and it's about being on the road and like not understanding young girls and like technology and Snapchat and all that kind of shit.
I feel ya.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not too much.
I don't have young girls either.
No, just meeting a girl and just like getting her number and she's like sends you a picture of her pussy. It's just like,
oh my god.
And I'm like,
someone really sent you a picture of their pussy?
No,
I just played the song with her. I just played the song. I think
did someone really send you a picture of their vagina?
All
the time.
No, I'm dating a girl now, so no. But yeah, I mean, like, if you asked anyone in their 20s, that's what they do all day.
Yeah.
Who does that? Why do they do that?
That's all.
I don't believe you.
There's an app called Snapchat that's just made for
I know Snapchat, but people take pictures of their vagina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how Ari meets most of the girls he dates.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean,
that's terrible.
No,
last part. Yes,
bad.
It is terrible.
Not that bad. And I think if you caught up to the times,
No, it might.
But I'm with you. I'm kind of older, and so it's just like, if you told me that when I was 18, I'd be all into it. Now I'm a little older. I'm like,
well, you're into it, but that's terrible that a girl thinks she's got to send a picture of her vagina to get a guy interested.
Well, of course, it's definitely horrible.
It's horrible.
But I'm saying, like, if I was 18, I would have loved it. But you know,
well, you would have. Yeah.
But now that I'm older, it's just,
she's not sending it for her own pride. She's sending it so the guy likes her.
It's like.
No, but I'm taking your side here for a second, which is, now that I'm older, I get the picture. I'm like, I don't want to meet up with a girl who would do this.
Totally. It's like stinky cut bait. Yeah, and you're
a
shark.
Hey, mom, dad, look at this. Awful. Look at this girl. Look at this girl I met. What do you think?
Yeah, no way. Yeah.
You know, she looks kind of weird. No, there's classy
ways to do it. Like if you sent me a picture of three vaginas and yours was one of them, and then I got rewarded if I could pick yours out of a lineup.
that will never happen.
That's the classy way.
Why would you ever send me a picture of your
vagina? Because that,
you know what?
You know,
send the other two at least.
Sacred really anymore. I feel like that's just nothing is sacred. Nothing's secret.
Well, by the way, what you're saying is that 100% correct. Nothing's sacred.
Nothing is.
Nothing's secret? There's no secrets left.
It's awful because...
I mean, imagine if Hank Jr. had cell phones back on his tour bus in the day.
Forget it.
He would have been gone in a week.
Oh, totally.
So, again, that new record was just about me trying to play this kind of traditional music and do the old honky-tonks and stuff in this new world. It just didn't really work for me.
Right.
And I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy in a lot of ways, even though I talk a cool game. A lot of it's just, you know, it just doesn't work, you know.
It's your humor.
Yeah, well, I try to tell my buddies in the band, you know, man, look at that girl's tits. So awesome. And then you know, she wants to hang out. I'm like, guys, let's get the fuck out of here, you know.
Never mind. Yeah, I pass.
But I am dating somebody now, which has changed a lot too.
Yeah, dating has changed, or dating somebody has
dating
changed
somebody
your
life. Has really helped me out on tour. You know, you don't want to get fucked up because you just finished up Sober October, right?
Yeah,
how'd it go?
It was great. It was absolutely fantastic. I loved it.
I was pretty much sober this last tour, and I felt great because the problem is, you know, with touring you. Wake up, you play a show in Kansas City, wake up, and you're playing Oklahoma City the next night. You just can't do it. You can't be hungover for a six-hour ride with a show that night. And I actually tried to do the Sober October with you guys, but the problem was I think it was 1st and 2nd, I opened up two shows at the Kid Rock Fish Fry. And that's not a way, you can't start that night.
Wait, you opened up two shows at the Kid Rock Fish Fry?
He has a yearly event in Nashville called the Kid Rock Fish Fry, which is basically like a gathering of the Juggalos for Kid Rock fans. And like, I couldn't be the only sober person of 5,000 people while they're all looking at me.
Right. Know?
That's what I said. I was going on the Impractical Jokers cruise and I was like, I cannot be the sober person on this cruise. I'll lose my fucking mind.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I was probably, first of all, I was already the only one who wasn't wearing some form of the American flag on my body. You know, they also unveiled the new, the Kid Rock, Madame Tussauds, wax figures. So.
Oh my God.
Okay. We got a card problem. Keep going.
Card problem?
Yeah, here, I'm gonna go grab another card real quick.
Okay.
Keep going. Wait, play the song for Leanne. I'm dying to hear that.
Okay. Let me make sure my voice.
That's a beautiful guitar.
Thank you. Gibson made me this.
That's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, I used to play Martins, and then Gibson's came along. They're like, we'll give you guitars if you want. It's like, fuck Martin. And
right?
They made this guitar with my pearl inlay, my name.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a piece of work. I'll definitely only be playing Gibsons from now on. I'm just making sure I can kind of sing it. It's a little early for me, but I'll bet I can get it. Should I go ahead and sing?
Flashback, I was just 16. Look at pictures in a magazine. All it takes for me to cream was a girl in the nightgown. But the girl these days, I swear, hanging out in the underwear, snapping titties like they didn't care. They spread all over town. Well, I guess it's a whole new world. Have sex and you don't even need the girl. Playing music out on the road. Head back to my hotel room. Can you do me a solid one? Send me pictures of your pussy on the phone. Make the movies on the internet. I prefer the personal shit. Won't feel so all alone. With some pictures of your pussy on my phone. Getting off the bus at dawn. Girls waiting there, suck me off. Turn around and then I'm gone. I don't need to town for a phone. I could nail every woman I see. Fuck more than Kennedy. That shit gets old to me. I'll be alone when I wanna come home. Rather be by myself at night. Cock glaring up with the cell phone light. Playing music out on the road. Head back to my hotel room. Can you do me a solid one? Send the pictures of your pussy on my phone. Make the movies on the internet. I prefer the personal shit. Won't feel so all alone. With some pictures of your pussy on my phone. Feel so all alone. Won't feel so all alone. With your pussy on my phone. Yeah.
That's good.
That was great.
Thank you. Yeah, all I'm trying to do is just sing. And to be honest, it's not me trying to be funny. It's just me trying to talk about my life. And I get it that it sounds, you know, me right. talking like myself talking. I mean, that's your thing, right? Just the truth is
yep.
funny. And
100%.
I just yep. and I sing about the truth and people laugh. And I don't get upset when they laugh. I mean, I think I told you this story last time is when my first record came out. I put out the records myself, but there's a company that distributes the records. And they call up. They go, you know, you debuted at number 9 on the comedy charts, on the country charts. And you also debuted on the country on the comedy charts, and I started screaming my ass off. I go, it's not comedy, it's country. I started screaming at him. We started screaming because I always scream. I go crazy, and we were just screaming at each other. This woman who was a friend of mine, and finally I just go, you know what? Let's just stop screaming for 1 second. Where am I on the comedy charts? She goes, you have the number one comedy album in America.
Wow.
Okay. I go, okay, let's keep on the comedy charts.
I'm good. Yeah.
You know, they just put it on the comedy charts because they heard bad words.
Right.
But I was very at the time I was very you know, very passionate about saying it's country, not comedy. But
right.
then once, if people laugh at it, I don't really, you know, I don't care.
Here, hop up.
Well, it's like having two audiences, really, right?
Yeah, well.
Because a lot of people that listen to comedy
because,
don't listen to country.
Just switch spots with me. Switch
well, the other big thing, too, is, you know, because radio won't have me, and then I can go to Bert, I can go to Joey or Rogan or whatever, you
sit
know.
Right here if you're going to be here. Well, what's interesting is we were down in Alabama this summer, and I had whatever your album that had, we had just podcasted. I had you on the podcast, and it had just come out. And I played it. Maybe it was your first album, and I played it for Leanne's cousins. And I said, I want you guys to hear. I had this guy on my podcast, thinking that I didn't know how they were going to receive it. And one of her cousins goes, oh, Wheeler Walker, I fucking love him. Turn it up. And there was no irony in whatever song he was singing. There was no comedy in it. This guy was living the same life you live. And I went, and it's the music, the music's great, but the lyrics resonate on different levels with different people.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Leanne was talking about is when I sing the first album, it's called Redneck Shit. I sing a song called Redneck Shit. And it's not a guy, you know, Googling redneck shit and seeing what redneck shit is. It's just all the shit I'm more of an observer. It's more shit my friends did growing up in Kentucky. And I'm seeing all the shit they did or shit that we thought would be funny that redneck, you know, it's just the way we talked in high school is all I'm doing is taking all the high school talk and making it rhyme. So I think it resonates with people just because they know it's not,
it's authentic.
It's authentic. It's funny too, because I was at a writing session once. And some guy, I was actually there with the guy, and he's like, you know what? This song needs a little bit of like kind of redneck language, like redneck shit. And so one of the other guys at the writing session goes, we should just like Google redneck shit, see what kind of words come up. And he Googles redneck shit, and my picture comes up.
No way.
Yeah, I'm like, well, that ain't going to help you. But yeah, I mean, these writing sessions, I mean, some of the guys are great writers, but a lot of them are just like, you know, they could be in LA, New York, whatever. It's just like, right. you know. And someone took, because I've been really interested in the songwriting scene lately, because that's what I'm interested in is songs. So I've been talking to a lot of, you know, songwriters, all, you know, in all different genres. And it's interesting what they hear, because I'll have pop people come to me. They'll go like, you know, because I'm on the country charts, or like, you know, we could, my people want a little more. They're saying, they're like, you know, would you want to write something? I'm like, I don't write pop songs. They're like, well, my people are telling me that, you know, pop needs a little more, you know, country language in it. You know, they're looking for more song, you know, rural kind of stuff. I guess as pop moves more out into the, you know, to the small cities of Alabama, not just the big cities, you know, it's like we need some more of that, you know, they're trying to sell as many. They're grasping on the last few straws of popular music.
Whatever lyric connects with you. Like, there's a Taylor Swift lyric that I was like, it doesn't resonate with me, but it resonates because I go, oh, yeah, I bet that resonates with people who live in the South. It's about, it's that one about getting out in the swinging door smacks or whatever. And I was like, oh, because there is a lot of screen doors in the South. The screen door something. I don't forget the lyric, but I was like, oh, that's a good lyric because it rings true. It's honest.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing is I don't care. I mean, I don't listen back to tracks and go, is that going to be honest for? I just sing what's honest to me, and your hope is that people will connect with, and you have something in common with an audience.
Dude, I had a joke. I was thinking about this joke I had last night. My buddy is, I think he's in prison. But, no, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, well, it's already out. I don't know what's going on with him. You can Google him. He was a joke I did about taking acid and go to Disneyland with him. And the joke was he wasn't the brightest guy. Well, obviously, he's in jail for marijuana dealing right now in Florida. But
who is it?
It's Harper. And so, but one time he misspelled his name. By the way, I didn't even write this joke.
I always forget you're from Florida. I mean,
yeah.
People forget that's the real South.
Yeah. And he
panhandle. Yeah.
Are you going to shower? Yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did that song make you feel dirty?
Are you going to go?
It's terrible. I have no idea that people actually do that.
They don't.
Talk into a fucking microphone.
Wait, people don't actually take pictures of their pussy?
No, I'm saying, I thought you meant like that, make songs like this.
Oh, no. He had told me about your songs, and I think I listened to them in Georgia, too.
Yeah.
So
Alabama.
Alabama, yeah.
That's where it should be listened to.
Same. Well, yeah, it's definitely stuff that is familiar to all of my people.
And it's all I'm listening to now is like all I'm listening to right now is like you, Sturgill, Nathaniel Rateliff, the Bird Cloud. Like,
oh yeah,
it's all my favorite.
And I'm glad to hear that music getting out there. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't take obviously. I think Sturgill was the first one to kind of break it over open big.
I played you Sturgill.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
I have his album.
Yeah, yeah. I had you know, he's an old friend from Kentucky, and I had dinner with him a couple weeks ago, and it's just like, now I think it's just kind of called, he's just like a guy who's just, his music just connects with people, but I think I would say he kind of influenced me less as a friend. It's just like, I remember getting that, his records, like, oh, I got to grab his new record, and it kind of got me back into country again, just like I hadn't heard real country in a long fucking time.
Yeah, he is a couple songs where I go, well, once again, it's the, I guess now that I see you say this, it's the lyrics. A tune will get me in, like a good tune is always like, as you were playing that, I play the guitar, but I was watching your fingers. I was like, oh, you know, it's simple chord structure. He's not going too complicated, but the way you're doing it, like just moving a couple fingers in that, I'm sitting there going, God, that's why it sounds so fucking good. Like, I could never be that good on a guitar.
Well, it sounds way better on the album for people listening.
Oh, I love acoustic. I love acoustic guitar playing. I love it.
Yeah,
are you going to shower?
Yeah.
You seem like you're getting up.
Well, I thought I was.
Well, I just am afraid that you're not on any mic, and so everyone's like, Bert, I can't hear fucking Leanne. But
give her the guitar mic.
No. I want to
give her the guitar.
No.
I feel like I'm crashing the
pop. I think
you're the perfect person to be in this.
Well, here, grab the guitar mic, and because Leanne is, just take the mic, baby doll.
Oh, just take the mic?
Don't take the, yeah.
Sorry,
just grab the mic.
Get out of the way.
That's okay. No. And so Leanne is the perfect person because this is stuff she would listen to in the house. I mean, obviously not that with the girls.
Well, what I listen to in the house is classic country.
Like, give me, like who?
George Jones.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
I love him. I listen to Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, old Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn.
I mean, we have basically the same album collection.
See, here's my question.
That's what I love.
Let's break down Dolly Parton. For me, when you take a song like 9 to 5, it is...
Well, that was pop music. That was them selling out at the time, but it's still a good song.
It's still a good song, but there is a cartoonishness to it. You know, like just the
Well, it was the theme song to a movie.
Yeah, no, but so, no, but still, but it's still a great song.
Yeah, it
like
is.
Like when you hear it, you go, "It's still a great song."
And she wrote it.
Yeah,
and she wrote.
Well, that's the thing people don't understand about Dolly is she writes all the songs.
Everything.
She plays every instrument. You know,
she's amazing.
You know, she doesn't get her because she's a woman and she got big boobs. People don't take her seriously. Is that because like people in country know that she's the greatest ever is up there with everyone else. But I think to the outside world, there's a kind of cartoon character-ness to her image that doesn't get her the, acclaim of like a George Jones or something or Johnny Cash. Let's just compare her to Johnny Cash, Mm-hmm. I don't think, there's no one I love more than Johnny Cash, but there's nothing he did really that, he was earlier and pioneered it a bit more, but nothing he can do that she can't do,
right.
In my opinion.
I agree. She played, I just saw her at the Hollywood Bowl, she played so many instruments, I couldn't believe it. I was like, no, she's actually really playing.
Well, he's in my head, like Tim McGraw comes out and he plays a whole set of songs he wrote and he's playing 12 different instruments, he'd be the next, king of country, but that's not, no one can do what she's doing.
No, no one can. And, it's really cool that particular show I saw, she told the story of how she wrote every single song she sang. So then, she wrote every single song in the 2.5 hours that I watched her, and it wasn't even close to her whole catalog.
Well, I was told recently, sorry to interrupt, but someone told me, I'll bet it's true, that I Will Always Love You, that's the most played song in the history of radio.
No way.
That she, people forget that Whitney Houston song was a juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
That she wrote.
Porter Wagner.
Yeah, exactly. I guess other people, she had her version.
Who's Porter Wagner?
Porter Wagner was like her old partner, there was like George and Tammy and, Conway and Loretta.
Really? Was that like a popular thing?
Duets?
Yeah, but like Porter Wagner had his own TV show, right?
Correct.
And then had Dolly
and
on
hired her.
Yeah.
He already had the show and then hired her. And
it's funny to look back at those pictures of the old day because not that she's not pretty now, but when she was younger, she was a knockout.
I saw a picture of her yesterday. I must have been flipping through my phone, and it was an early Dolly Parton, and I was like, she was fucking gorgeous.
She was gorgeous.
What's amazing, too,
really
is thinking of your Porter Wagner, and you're like, mm-hmm. We're looking for new people on the show, and you see this the prettiest blonde girl you've ever seen,
right.
Young girl, and she's like, oh, I wrote this song you want to hear, and she plays Jolene. Like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, pass?
Oh, introduced me to Jolene.
Great song, right?
Yeah. What was the line you liked in Jolene?
I don't know.
There was always something.
Well, where I record, my buddy actually took over RCA Studio A in Nashville. So we record on the same floor in the studio where they recorded Jolene. It blows my mind just thinking about that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And when she left Porter Wagner, she left empty-handed. She gave him everything she wrote while she was
with him. Especially in those days.
Crazy.
Especially in those days, it was, women weren't supposed to be able to do that. And she was just like, I want my freedom. Well, and then he's like, I made you. I don't want to put word. I don't know the exact.
No, story. That is kind of what happened.
Yeah. It's just like,
really?
It's like, I'll start from scratch. I can, I know
how
to write.
Scary that feeling.
And then she wrote, I Will Always Love You after she left him because that was for him.
Cause I played a Loretta Lynn tribute show kind of recently.
Really?
And, it was really fun cause people, they're waiting for me to, curse. And I was like, I'm not going to curse during a Loretta Lynn song. I played A Fist City, that song?
Oh, yeah. I love Loretta Lynn. You don't want to go to Fist City.
It's like her wanting to beat up guys beat up girls who are messing with her guys.
That's
My first instinct was like, that's badass shit. My first instinct was to change it to a male, because I don't want to sing a female. I mean, I didn't mind. Then I realized I couldn't because if you switch the gender in that, it's me beating up women.
Right, right.
So I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't say if you mess with my girl, I'm,
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Did she write that song?
Yeah.
I'm not as familiar with what she wrote. I don't know.
She may
have
had co-writers, but she wrote a lot of songs. But what people don't know, again, when you look about the badassness of country music, and I always complain about how I'm banned from the radio and all that stuff. Loretta got banned from the radio.
For the pill.
The pill, yeah.
What was the... What? Wait, okay.
She wrote a song about being on the pill And they were
wait,
like,
"Bert, I'm talking to the. I'm being interviewed by the wrong person. She knows
no shit. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're in here,
music.
Leanne.
No, my favorite music is 70s country. Is my favorite music. That's what I listen to when I'm in the kitchen on Alexa. Is I just have her play, and I've read a lot about Loretta and Dolly.
What's Alexa, by the way?
It's Alexa's, the Amazon thing.
Yeah, do I need one of them?
They're amazing. It's,
if you want to feel like a husband in the 1950s, because it's a real powerful.
What's the thing about it? You just tell what to do.
You go, Alexa, set a timer. And then all of a sudden it has to set a timer. And
like they do timers. It'll play music for you. You just say, Alexa, play a classic country playlist. And she'll just shuffle classic country songs from that era.
Except she's not really good if you're like, Alexa, play some lovemaking music. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
And like,
yeah.
Oh, I guess
that's not
Alexa,
good.
Play Wheel Walker Jr.
Yeah, she would play
off.
It.
Yeah.
She would play it. Yeah. Or you say, hey, make a list on my phone to do all this shit. And
you hook it up to your phone.
Yeah. So like when I go to the grocery store, my grocery list is on my phone because I told Alexa, hey, put milk on my shopping list.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
Maybe I'll look
part.
Into it.
Yeah, you should. So we were talking about Loretta.
So what was the pill?
I think you explain it.
It's a song about being on the pill and how she's liberated. Now she can be just as liberated as a man because she got the pill.
Oh,
and
oh.
They
imagine
shut
being,
her down.
All I'm thinking is now guys can come in me. That's all I think when I hear that.
I know, but imagine whatever it was. I want to say late 60s, but probably early 70s.
It was early.
Singing about the
it
pill.
It was 70s, yeah.
That's crazy.
In country music, no less.
I can't imagine that anyone let that go.
Not just that. She'd had how many kids by that point? She'd had one set of twins, maybe two. And she had like six kids that she had with Do. So finally she's like, I don't have any more kids. I got the pill, right?
Oh, she's not even talking about being on the pill. She's talking about being on the pill and
she's
being married.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's married. And
oh,
I'm sure she was.
Crazy.
I'm sure the implication was for all women, married or no, you now have this freedom.
In the Bible Belt, nonetheless, in the
70s. Yeah. But also, I mean, I always think about it from like a songwriter's perspective. She writes a song, goes to the studio, has to convince the producer to play, has to convince the label to put on the album. Like, there were so many steps where
right.
they were just like, no, no, no.
And that is writing from the heart.
Exactly. And then sending it to the record, to the radio stations, and they're just like,
what?
Wait, wait, wait. And not only, it's all, what's also crazy too is it wasn't just, we're not going to play it. It's like, we're not playing any Loretta.
Really?
You know, it's, you're banned from the radio.
And then what got her back on the radio?
Just,
I don't know.
It was just, I think it was just, you know, pure.
Time.
It was just like, you know, we want Loretta. She was kept writing great songs, and they're just like, you know, eventually. I mean, like the Dixie Chicks, I think, was an example of, not to get too heady, but like, to me, the Dixie Chicks got fucked over. We can talk about that's a whole, that's like a political thing, which I don't, whatever, it is. But you got to look at it too, like, and I hate the radio stations, don't get me wrong, but if you're a radio station, they all call in and say, we're not listening to your station anymore if you play the Dixie Chicks. It's not really their fault for not playing it, I don't think. It's just like, that's your job as a radio station is not to bring new music to the people. I mean, I think it is, but actually you're just a company and you're playing what people want to hear. If they don't want to hear it,
they don't listen.
They don't,
and then you lose it. Yeah.
Well, it used to be that way, though, that new artists were broken by DJs.
You know, it used to be DJs could pick what they want. Now it's coming from some company in New York.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, but it's like, I'm comparing that to Loretta, which is, you know, we can't play this song. And then people start calling up like, where'd Loretta go? We want to hear Loretta. You know? Well, she sang The Pill, and they're just like, I don't give a shit. Play, you know. Play your new songs, you know?
Right.
So there was the ban was not really an official ban. It was just like, almost like we're putting you on probation, I feel like. But she was banned, you know?
Wow. I remember seeing Coal Miner's Daughter in a drive-in movie theater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was like, when that came out, I must have been
really young.
Seven?
Yeah.
It was a little heavy of a movie for me to watch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's just to think how she grew up and how, you know,
totally.
Where she came. I mean, those places, I mean, now are ravaged by a different kind of pill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, you know, because I knew my aunt in Nashville was kind of friendly with Crystal Gayle, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Gayle's Loretta's sister. People don't know that.
Crystal Gayle's Loretta Lynn's sister?
Yeah. It's her younger sister.
Yeah, they're a Kentucky family, come from like a holler, which is what they call, you know, just basically like a little, you know, community of, you know, 70 people.
So wait, a holler's not, I always thought a holler was like a place in the woods.
Well, it sort of is. It's kind of a like a low place tucked in. somewhere. It's very echoey.
Very like really? Like Appalachia, you know, kind of like a little.
That's where she grew up, in the foothills of Appalachia.
I did.
That's
where? Where
really rural Georgia. It's called Bowden. It's about 60 miles west of Atlanta. Just a little bit of Appalachia, a little mountain here, Black Deck Mountain, and a couple of mountains.
That's
the mentality, the people were very Appalachia.
Yeah, I mean, did you really have any access to, like, TV kind of do people bring that stuff in? Because all those hollers are still nowadays are kind of, you know,
shut off from the world. Mm-hmm. I did. I mean, we had TV, but we were an hour and 15-minute drive from Atlanta. We had to put coolers in the truck to drive to the grocery store because it took 30 minutes each way to go to the grocery store. So
yeah, that's great.
By the time you get home, everything's ruined. So
yeah, that's why I love these people nowadays. You know, I'm real country. I'm from Atlanta, you know.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, no. You can order fucking groceries off Amazon.
Totally. You know? Yeah. In high school, we got a Piggly Wiggly. Like my senior year in high school, and that was such a big deal because there was a little local Red Devil grocery store, because the local high school team's the Red Devils. There was a little bitty, and there was a butcher there. But like if you wanted Kraft mac and cheese, you're out of luck. If you wanted Oreos, you had to drive 30 minutes to get.
Who doesn't want Oreos?
Or everybody. We used to get Doritos and eat the whole bag in the back of the truck on the way home because we were like, oh my God, we got some Doritos. But, you know, it's another reason some of our friends here make fun of me because I go to the grocery store one day a week and I buy everything because you went to the grocery store once and if you didn't get it, you didn't have it. That's
I
mean,
groceries are a big deal in the South. I was a bag
boy.
I was a bag boy for years, and I remember it made me laugh looking back on it that I worked at a grocery, it's called Randall's.
Mm-hmm.
It was a local grocery, and they decided to sell the Randall's and turn it into a Kroger's.
Uh-huh.
And it was right during the first Iraq war, and the whole city like took to the streets and had a protest. And I'm reading the papers like, you know, Iraq war protests across the country, and they're in my town. They're protesting the grocery
because it's corporate.
Yeah, because no, they're saying that there's like, you know, we're not going to get fresh produce. You know, the produce isn't going to be as good. We're not going to get, you know, what such and such. You know, Randall the manager ain't going to be around no more. Oh, Randall's like, I'll stick around for the new Kroger's for a while.
Randall was the guy.
Yeah, they love to. They would just say, you know, these. I don't like these red apples so much. He's like, I'll get the green ones for you. You know, it's like that was like a. It was almost like a farmer's market.
Well, it's like a pride of ownership, right? And that doesn't happen when a corporate company moves in. There's no ownership.
I mean, I'd never seen. It was the first protest I'd ever seen. People. It was like the. It was like the women's march, but it was for apples. You know,
for Randall.
That's so funny. What,
save Randall.
What's been? What's like your? What's the song? Not to go. Like I feel bad even talking in this interview. But what's like the?
You're just kind of getting in the way.
A little bit. Leanne, do you have any more questions?
I don't know.
Actually, I want her to. I got some big dates coming up. I want you to say them. I want a real.
Your dates?
Your dates?
Your dates?
My show. I got shows coming up. I wrote them
down. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Awesome.
What are they?
They're my four, and I probably forgot the thing, but.
Well, my accent, this is not the accent I grew up with, you know. My dad comes here and.
Yeah, people think you're probably. You're.
City folk
now, yeah. But no, we're doing my four biggest shows ever. I don't know why, for some reason. It's much bigger on the West Coast. I guess I think what it is just like they ain't see anything like this. Like they get to see a real live redneck behind a, you know, in a cage or something, you know, because I play the South. I do well, but West Coast has been crazy.
And really?
And a big promoter came out here. You know, it's like, we want to get in the Wheeler business. Let's do December 3rd through 6th West Coast dates. And
yeah, you're December 3rd. You're in Novo downtown in LA.
Yeah, which is that's headlining a 2,000 seat place. That's big for me.
That's great.
That's gonna be fantastic.
Well,
you guys, I'll get you guys tickets. You can come down.
I would love that.
I would love that.
That'd be awesome. I had a question. No, I forgot it.
I think I'm here. Is that a Sunday?
Yeah, but we're also playing Monday. I think is
San
Diego, but Tuesday is Santa Ana, which is not far, right?
No, Santa Ana's just that way.
Tuesday. If you can't make the Sunday show, come to Tuesday, right. Santa Ana. And then I think the last, it's only four dates, and the last one will be Phoenix.
And they're selling really well out here.
They're selling good, yeah. It's fun. I love doing the podcast to hang out, but it's what I love is, you know, promoters, managers call up, like, you know, you got these dates, you got to do promo. And I'm like, I'll do Joey Diaz and Bert.
Yeah.
And they to them that's big promo, but for me it's just hanging out and having fun, as opposed to getting up at 4 in the morning and do some shitty radio, you know?
That's nice. Well,
I had that conversation with someone today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, should I say them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here are the dates for the Wheeler Walker Jr. West Coast final shows of the year.
Okay. Sunday, December 3rd, the Novo by Microsoft in L.A. Monday, December 4th, the Observatory North Park, San Diego. Tuesday, December 5th, the Observatory in Santa Ana. And what's wrong?
Nothing.
I love it.
And Wednesday, December 6th, the Van Buren in Phoenix, Arizona. But that wasn't even my real life. You want me to say it like I was? Okay, this is how I grew up talking.
Say it like we're
I got my ass whooped. My parents divorced. My mom moved me to Atlanta. My ass got whooped.
Say it like your ass about
every
to get
day.
Yeah.
And they would call me hillbilly. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Sunday.
Sunday.
December 3rd. The Novo by Microsoft. Los Angeles. Does that sound different than before?
That's a country show.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Monday, December 4th, the Observatory.
Observatory.
North Park, San Diego, California. Tuesday, December 5th, the Observatory, Santa Ana, California. And Wednesday, December 6th, the Van Buren, Phoenix, Arizona.
Now, that's what I've been waiting for. Yeah. That's how you promote dates.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
That there's how you do it. Right there.
When her family comes out, her accent gets so thick.
It's so bad. I mean, my daddy can't order in a restaurant out here. They don't know what he's saying.
What's weird is that now, I don't know if you... When was the last time you've been to Nashville? You've been there?
I have never been to Nashville.
Never been there.
No.
It's crazy because, you know, I grew up in Lexington and then my mom's from... My great-grandparents are from Nashville. So we go back to, you know... four generations. When I was a kid, Nashville was just a small town where you would maybe run into fucking Tanya Tucker or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Vegas now. I mean, it's crazy. They got these things, these pedal taverns. You've seen those things where the girls drink beer and they kind of pedal.
Oh, yeah.
Around the town. It's where every bachelorette party in the South is now.
No way.
Nashville.
Never
it's now hips. It's hipsterville. It's like Jack White moved there. The Black Keys moved there. Kings of Leon. Like, it's the place to move now.
People I went to Jack White's studio to record an album, and they can record it to vinyl.
Third Man,
yeah. It was with Ari, and we just told some stories, and I don't even know if it came out ever. But
he gets a little bit of a gruff, maybe is the word, just because he's a Detroit guy moved in. But I think he's doing good shit for Nashville.
Yeah, he seems to be super passionate.
Well, his album with Loretta Lynn was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was great.
Agreed on that. Yeah. I mean... That's my thing, too, is if, I mean, I get pissed, too, that people are moving into Nashville and fucking rents and prices are going up. But if you're passionate about it and, for a guy like me trying to find a backup band and there's fucking 20 awesome drummers who can all fucking play, that's good for business for me because if a guy bails, you know, there's a guy just as, or if he wants too much money, and I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but like. There's 19 guys just as good.
So are you doing all your albums out of Nashville?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I do them all with Dave, who does... He's a guy from Georgia, just like, you know, was kind of messing around with the studio. I think he actually even lived in L.A. for a while. And then Shooter Jennings is like, hey, you got to hear this guy, Sturgill Simpson. And he goes, okay, you know what? Come over to my place. I got a couple grand. We could put out a record. By the second one, you know, they'd sold a few hundred thousand.
That's awesome.
Wow, yeah, I mean, and then he was like, and then Chris Stapleton heard that and goes, can you make my record? And that one's at, you know, probably 5 million right now or whatever it is, you know?
That's great.
Now, how does the breakdown go for money when it goes like we were talking today about Blink 182 and they sold 20.
Who isn't?
Okay. Did you hear his interview with Rogan?
No. I saw somebody commenting. Someone tweeted me, like, how bad was that interview?
It wasn't bad. It was a great fucking interview. It was just bizarre as shit.
Why?
The ex-guitarist, or one of the leads of Blink 182, they've been broken up for a while, Tom DeLonge, is starting a foundation for space time travel and space aliens. I'm not doing a good job. Once again, it's like, listen to the podcast.
Sounds like a guy who just has too much money.
He has too much money and he's got a lot of big thoughts. But
I'm all for sending Blink 182 to space.
But
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you one song they sang.
Yeah, you could.
Well, if you told me it, I would recognize the song, but I can't tell you.
So, and anyway, my point is, I Googled how much he was worth. He's worth $80 million. And then I said to someone, I was with Kevin and Bean, and I said, he sold 25 million albums in the 90s. And that's when you sold albums in the 90s, that's when you made the most fucking money. They sold like 99. And then when...
Yeah, that's when people were still selling records. I mean, they're on a big label, though. I mean, the difference that's been cool for me is I put my albums out myself. So I have to sell... I mean, I'm the record label, so yeah. I get
everything.
I actually don't get everything. I have to give a little bit to a distributor. I get, you know, iTunes takes a piece, Amazon takes a piece. They're not just doing it for fun, but
right.
You know, like Blink-182, they give the piece to iTunes, they give the piece to Amazon, they give a giant chunk to Sony, a big chunk to the shareholders, whatever it is, you know. But it's still if you're making pennies, 25 million records doesn't, you know, it's going to add up.
I was wondering what it's like now, because I know that I wonder if it's more advantageous for me to release a comedy album or put out an hour on my podcast or do an hour special. Where is the most money to land?
Well, I mean, nowadays, I mean, for everyone, it's pretty much, it's all ways to make your, you know, for the live business.
Yeah, that's touring.
I assume that's for you.
For me, my touring is where I make all my money. But I take that back. I make money on the podcast. Thank you for listening to the ads, everybody. But I make money on the podcast.
But the majority.
But for the most part, the podcast for me is a passion play. Like, I love doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking here's what I've learned. If you want to, it's worth a shot. If you want to try to make money from albums, make an album. I'm telling you this because I know you don't need anybody to fucking do anything. Especially comedy. It's just a microphone and maybe a mic on the audience or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I could mix it myself. I could make it sound great.
Get a good guy to Photoshop a cover. Especially iTunes, all you need is the cover. You don't need all the inside work and all that shit.
But, and then you sell it for $9.99.
If you sell it for $9.99 on iTunes, I think you'll get $6.99 of it in your pocket.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, think about too. Like, do you think you can sell 10,000?
Oh, I don't know if I could.
It's hard to say because most of your fans would probably stream it, and you know, whatever.
It'll probably get ripped and put online quickly. Because I think my fans would. I think I probably. I don't know if I couldn't.
I think music for some reason people who still buy albums. I think they. I feel like because I've seen the comedy charts. Like, feel like, you know, people still like to buy music albums, but the comedy charts, it was crazy. You know, like that week my album came out, I think I sold like 10,000 albums that first week, and that was on the comedy charts. And number two on the comedy charts, it sold like 80 record. You know, it's just like people just don't. I think they look at, again, I'm just looking at it from the outside. I think they look at comedy albums as something, especially with Netflix and everything, something that they just are owed. But I also think it's worth a shot. Like, why not?
Music's a little different in that when you release music, there is so much. It's the only way to take it in. Almost is that it's a private experience.
Yeah. Well, I see a lot of people at shows. You know, they'll buy my album. They'll buy the vinyl and the CD just because they want me. They want a personal copy, even though they've already got it on all their streaming devices.
On their devices. Well, what's interesting to me is I think that our world is shifting back to audio based because I'm listening to books, in Audible. People listen to podcasts while they're working. People listen to comedy albums or music. And I wonder if the shift is, if there's a shift happening that hasn't completely happened yet, where people want comedy albums because they also listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and because
listen to books on
the plane, putting your headphones and listen to it. I mean, I love comedy albums, and I mean,
or commuting.
My recommendation would be just, I would put it out $9.99, whatever, on iTunes. See what it's such a low risk thing.
Yeah, right.
It's low risk, and the upside is so big because you never know. I mean, you could sell a low amount and make a ton of money, you know.
Yeah, so if you sold 10,000 albums at $6.99, you're walking away with $60,000?
$70,000. It sounds to me like you could literally put a few hundred bucks into it to make it.
Yeah.
I mean,
your return on investment is really big.
My thing is just to make sure you watch out for, you know, Comedy Central Records, whoever it is. Just don't do anything with those because you're going to pay them half. They're going to take half the money for just sending it to iTunes.
Yeah.
You can do that yourself. I mean,
yeah, no.
Fucking kids could do it.
I was thinking about re-recording all my stories, like all my stories, and re-recording them and releasing them on an album, and just.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do too. I mean, kind of an experimental kind of comedy album is something I think is interesting. I feel like I've seen a couple of those recently where they're just not stand up, but just kind of people, you know, more like dicking around or, you know. I feel like there's still a market for that, you know, like when I was a kid in the South, there'd be like these like prank call tapes that would be like passed around, you know, like Jerky Boys and that kind of shit. But there was shit before that too. Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I was like,
I still have two comedy albums from my childhood. One's called Goofy Gold and the other one's called Funny Bone. And they were just comedy music and a few jokes. I kept them my whole life because I listened to them like on a loop.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, in the South, I mean, I definitely saw stand up growing up.
But, I did too.
But just here and there, and I for the life of me, I could not tell you who I saw. It was just like these guys in cowboy hats and overalls who would just come to town and just like tell a bunch of like kind of rednecky jokes.
Well, I think the South has a very specific sense of humor, and all the guys, like all my dad's friends, all had a good sense of humor and all told jokes. I don't think that happens outside the South. I think we maybe, or I at least, thought everybody had a great and well-developed sense of humor. And then you go to New York City and there's no sense of humor.
Well, I'm talking about Nashville becoming, you know, turning into corporate. It's like, one of the things you see when a city kind of gets bigger, I've found, is the sense of humor kind of leaves. Like, the shit I'm doing, which is fucking with Nashville, it's like, I see the good old boys who are laughing at it, but the new guys, like, this shit ain't funny, you know? You're fucking with, you know. This is our bread and butter, and you're
right.
Kind of.
They don't get the joke, right? I think.
Yeah, and I'm really fucking. It's not a prank, you know, but I'm so sick of what's happening in country music right now that I want to. Hey, you know what? I can fucking sing filthy shit and not sell you fuckers and play bigger places and fuck you. And they're like, I think they're taking it really seriously. I mean, I've gotten so many fucking calls from managers, agents, record labels, you know. Hey, man, back off.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like...
Back off of what? Why is that any of their business?
Because...
How are you affecting their business?
I mean, my opinion is all I'm doing is helping. I mean, if there's some shitty song, like, you know, like... I saw this new guy put out, some guy, country guy. I just always check out the new country releases just to look what my new material is. Some guy has a song called... You know, like, I guess it's like a playoff of, like, Pink Floyd's, you know, Wish You Were Here. He has a song called Wish You Were Beer. I didn't even fucking listen to it, but I went on, you know, went on Twitter just like, seriously, has it come to this? Wish You Were Beer? I haven't heard it, but I can tell you, I mean, there's no way it's a good song. I don't even need to listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and there's another one called Beer in the Headlights, and there's like, they just put beer, they're just using like fucking, like, it's like, that's why I always say, why am I on the comedy charts? Fucking Wish You Were Beer should be on the fucking comedy charts.
Wish You Were Beer, that makes me wonder. I used to want to always write a song about...
Because then I decided I should write a song called Wish You Were Food. You know, it's a really dramatic, like, love song about how, like, you'd be much cooler if you were a pizza, you know? But the songs have gotten that bad.
Right.
And they're just, and like, me pointing out how bad they've gotten, you know... And like I said, this filth outselling them is just like, wait a second. And then they go, well, his songs are actually better. So what does it say for us who we've built up this whole system where we go to fucking, we tour radio for a year and we build up these people for putting millions of dollars into them. And how's this fucking dipshit with a record that costs 20 grand?
They've got to see that dripping through their fingers. Cause the biggest selling, well, I mean, radio is changing in general. And whereas, you know, what's big in radio is country and Mexican are the two biggest genres.
Latino music?
Latino. Yeah, not Mexican. Sorry.
Mexican, like Taco Bell?
Yeah, but they're going to go away too.
And they know it,
yeah,
but it's just like
know.
The guys who are there right now, just like, let's grasp these last few mil.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
And the model that you're representing makes them totally obsolete.
That's what that's a good point you make, which I think at the end of the day, the language doesn't piss them off as much as that I'm doing it without them.
Correct.
Because I'm doing it without the system.
You're a threat to their system.
I'm a threat because I'm showing people, I just made an album, put it out myself.
And, right.
And I go on Bert's podcast. I go on Rogan. I go on Joey Diaz. I skip the radio. It's like, you know, you can just go on all these podcasts. It's 2017. I can go on YouTube. I've done a million of these fucking, because you always just throw shit out there, see what sticks. People call me up all the time. You want to do this YouTube interview? And part of me just like, who the fuck? You know, fuck that. And then I'll just start doing them, because you never know. I don't know which one's going to fucking take off. I don't even know what Reddit is, but I know I've gotten a lot of sales from Reddit. I still don't know my way. I looked at the site. It doesn't even make any sense. But
I don't understand Reddit either. Everyone's always like, dude, you're trending on Reddit. And I'm like, yeah, I wish I could find that. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either, but, you know, God bless them. It's helped me a ton, you know. And then the song for my first record called Fuck You Bitch blew up on something called Black Twitter, which we've talked about,
I think. Oh, for real? Yeah. No, I didn't know that we talked about that. Wait, what happened?
I just got a call, like, Erica Badu has posted your song, and some guy, Daquan, do you know him?
Uh-uh.
He's like, basically, I guess social media.
I know Black Twitter very well.
Yeah, basically, I'm explaining to your wife, I think it's basically like how all cool culture comes from the black community, you know? Hip-hop started there, obviously, rock and roll, blues, whatever.
Blues, yeah.
Now, like, all the memes that, like, your kids are passing around, they all started in, like, on, like, what they call Black Twitter. And somebody made a meme of the chorus of Fuck You Bitch, my song, from the video, and they just put, I guess some rapper put on top, just in text, wrote, didn't know country went this hard. Yeah. And it just, like, just that meme went fucking viral. And then it's like, who is this? And it was right when my new album came out. When my new album came out, it just, the first album took off from this, you know, this weird section of social media that I didn't know shit about. So we probably sold more of the first, as many of copies of the first record on the release week of the new one, just because of the, I mean, that's complete coincidence. It could have happened any week.
Right.
I wish Desus and Mira would hear this, because Desus and Mira were huge on Black Twitter. And by the way, Black Twitter is Twitter, Leanne. It's just the section.
Yeah, it's not like black.twitter.com.
It's not like Asian Facebook, where everyone has a hard time tagging themselves in photos.
Oh, wah, wah.
It's a good joke. It's is that me? No, that's not me. And so it's a very racist joke. But it's a joke I wrote a long time ago. Anyway, Black Twitter would, they'd follow a trend. And so, like, one of the trends would be, or if someone posted something, they'd all go in on that. One of the big ones was LeBron's Kermit sipping tea hat. You don't even know what that is, but, like, he wore a Kermit sipping tea hat during getting the trophy, I think, and everyone knew what that meant on Black Twitter, because Kermit sipping tea is a meme of like, oh well, just, you can do whatever you're doing. I'll just sit here and sip tea. One of the big ones is like V-Day gifts in the hood.
Is that where the crying Jordan started?
Crying Jordan, I think, started on Black Twitter, which is fucking insane that now.
I just still don't understand, but yeah.
Yeah, but Black Twitter is very interesting.
Who's Desus and Mira? I've heard of them before.
They're really great. They do a podcast called The Bodega Boys, and they do a show on Viceland called Desus and Mira. And I went on, and what you're saying is I agree wholeheartedly. I started seeking out stuff this year that I found interesting. And Desus and Mira were one of them. Hot Ones with Sean Evans was one of them. So I went on Hot Ones. I've had more people hit me up from Hot Ones. I mean, I've had downloads on Hot Ones right now is probably up into 3 million.
What's Hot Ones?
It's, let's see if I can find it.
It's a show where you eat different hot sauces and you try to have a regular conversation like the host of the show.
Oh,
asks
where do they shoot it? I'll go do it.
They do it. Sean, hey, someone hit up Sean. Tell him Will Walker's ready. They do it out of New York mostly, but he comes to LA and does a run.
Never go to Nashville?
It's super simple show.
They don't go to Nashville.
I fucking hate New York. I don't hate it. It's just,
2.3 million views of
That's
my
crazy.
Hot ones.
Of you trying just eating hot
Just
shit.
Eating hot ones and telling
crying
stories.
Because it's too hot and you can't deal with it. And you have to tell a story while eating hot things or talk to the host while eating.
But it's
things.
The same thing you say is that you can kind of circumnavigate, especially if you start creating your own content, you can which you did. But he released one of his, by the way, I was actually thinking of doing this, following your tracks.
I can hook you up with people.
He released one of his videos on Pornhub. You don't know what Pornhub is.
clearly, if I don't know that people put their pussies on Snapchat, I don't know what Pornhub is.
Pornhub is the world's greatest.
A hub for porn?
It's the hub. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
that makes sense.
It's the best website ever made.
Yeah. You've got some videos up there, Leanne, that I've posted.
Oh, shut up.
But he put a video up there, and I was like, I was saying to someone, because we were looking at alternatives to releasing this next hour, like we're looking at all options, like across the board. And part of me was like, fuck it. Why not put it up on Pornhub? Then, like, it's dirty, and people find it and be like, ah, fuck.
Well, why not put it on Netflix, but also for the first week, put it on Pornhub or something?
Yeah.
You know? Because that was my thing is, what happened, Leanne, was the thing now is, you know, with digital, who's a mainstream artist, like Jason Isbell or someone, will, his album comes out whatever date, the week before, NPR will have it streaming for free, as a preview. So they came to me like, you know, let's stream this album for free a week before it comes out, and they're like, give me all these places, you know, NPR, they're like, NPR obviously won't do it because it's dirty. Like, what about Rolling Stone? Well, I go, motherfucker, I mean, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm just like, I guarantee you every one of these websites you named all put together gets what a porn site gets in like an hour. So yeah. I go, Pornhub, I go, I guarantee you they get billions of views a month. Hey, that's your job. Call someone at Pornhub, tell them I want to premiere my new record on Pornhub. Right. That was before the video. We streamed the whole first album on Pornhub a week before.
You streamed the whole video on Pornhub?
No, the whole album.
Album.
The first album came out on Pornhub a week before it was released.
And that, do you find that that helped?
I think it did. It certainly didn't hurt. I mean, if you get every masturbator in the world to listen to your record, I mean, only half of them have to buy it to make a profit.
Right.
By the way, when you Google your name on Pornhub, almost 1 million views on Puss in Boots, but the next thing that comes up is wheelchair porn.
Yeah, and some tell me that the wheelchair porn is way higher views.
By the way, yeah, immediately when I saw wheelchair porn, I went, fuck, hold on, let's just see wheelchair porn for, oh, shut up.
Oh,
no,
God.
You have much, it is not pleasant. You have much more views than this. Oh, this is not.
It's great. So I got a million views on Pornhub. That's probably the lowest viewed video in the history of Pornhub, but that's great for me, you know.
Right,
for me,
it's big
awesome.
For you. Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's the low end.
Right.
Yeah, that wheelchair porn is not what I'm into.
Well, another thing too is I've noticed that people who discover me on Pornhub, they don't want to mention, you know, they pretend like they just found me organically, because they're
right.
not going to say that they,
well, I was,
know,
on Pornhub and just,
yeah, I was jerking off, and then I was sitting down thinking about shit, and then this music.
For my recovery,
yeah.
I thought I'd just listen.
That's my thing, is after you're done jerking off, let's play in some good country.
Yeah.
Right? Totally.
I've done that. Pornhub's my go-to spot when I Google porn. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, a lot of porn companies have like been psyched that I did that. They thought it was like good for the industry, and then all these people like send me free passwords for these other sites. I'll tell you what, Leanne, watch the kids. I mean, the shit they go on, like they gave me passwords for these, like the ones that are like pay sites. Some of these, I almost fucking threw up. It was just like,
really?
I don't even want to explain it. It was just, it's a crazy, what people are doing now on the fucking internet.
No secrets. There's no secrets and nothing.
No,
secret.
But there was like shit I literally had to ask like friends of mine who are like in the medical profession, like what's going on? Like,
is this healthy?
Yeah, but I was asking about like, I'll just say these two words, prolapsed anus.
Oh, dude, have you seen the guy with two dicks?
No, but he's probably on this site.
He's got a prolapsed anus. I showed you that prolapsed anus.
I almost vomited.
Yeah, I almost threw up.
I almost vomited.
It was like, this is not sex. This is not like sexy to me. This is just fucking gross.
It's sick. And
but,
anybody who thinks
people
it
are
is
getting
sexy.
Off, people are getting
I know,
off
but they're
on this.
Sick. I think that is again, the same thing, that you should not take a picture of your pussy and send it to somebody. There's just stuff that...
Well, I'll tell you what. This
we
picture,
don't need to know
a picture
about.
Of your pussy looks pretty nice compared to,
a prolapsed anus.
Like using a prolapsed anus as a lollipop.
Then, by the way, you don't just take a picture of your pussy. You fluff it up a little bit. You like make sure it's got
it
a shine.
It doesn't matter.
You should not do it at all.
I think you're a little
prude.
I think you're no, not prude. I think you're just a little bit. You don't understand. And I'm with you. It shocked me.
Yeah.
Like if I was 14 and I saw back in the days, I was, you know, I'm older, so before porn, like. If you start showing me one picture of a naked girl, that could keep me going for a year.
Yeah, but usually...
That did, by the way. That is what worked for me.
But those pictures were of anonymous girls. They were of Playboy or whatever. I know, someone that you know.
If you show me a picture of an... I never saw a naked girl my age till I was probably, you know, late teens, earliest. But, like, nowadays, these kids just fucking take pictures... They don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, they're objectifying themselves, really, in a certain way, because you go, you know, looking at a woman in a Playboy magazine, she's an adult, and she's saying, hey, I'm going to be naked, and I'm cool with that. So then she's agreeing to allow whomever to look at her naked.
Yeah, well, as a young girl, I would assume what they're saying is, you know, I'm open for business.
Exactly, but they're not old enough or mature enough to really even completely understand what that means.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
I mean, that's the problem, is that if a 14-year-old boy, in theory, got this pussy picture, it would probably be from a 14-year-old or somewhere thereabouts aged girl.
And they're doing it because they see Kim Kardashian. Or whoever.
Yeah.
That or that they don't know how to communicate with a boy in any other way than to send them a fucking picture of pussy.
Well, I'm trying to think, if I was a kid and I, because obviously I didn't have a cell phone as a kid, but if I did, I probably would have taken, I wouldn't have sent them to people, but I probably would have taken a lot of pictures of my
dick. When I first got the camera on my phone, all I did was take pictures of my dick.
Yeah.
I never thought about my vagina ever.
Yeah, that's right.
I never thought about it.
I took a really tasteful one. I sent this to a girl one time, and it was the... It was the shadow my dick cast. It wasn't a picture of my dick. It was a picture of my dick shadow. And it was, I was like, that's fucking smart. And by the way, that was like 7 months ago.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. It's worrisome because you think, no wonder there's this whole big section of the country where they've gotten so conservative that, you know, they have those like, those rings now they give each other.
Oh, the purity rings.
Yeah, those things where you go, well, that's the other end of, like, I'm not doing anything
that's
pretty natural.
What's crazy, as you get older, I'm like, and part of me is, like, more on that end, you know?
That's what I mean.
It pushes you over because I'm just like, I don't want to see, because now that I'm fucking 40, it's like, I don't need to, whatever this girl, you know, the girls who come up to me after shows, is more before, you know, like, 23, that's a kid to me, you know?
Well, yeah.
I don't need to see, you know. And they send it, what they do is they send it to me on like, they used to, not as much anymore, send it to me on like Instagram, private message.
Instagram, oh, that's, okay.
Yeah, private message.
I was going to say, wow.
But there's a section, they can't send you a private message, but they can send it to you. And how does it work? I guess there's a section of my Instagram direct messages that are people I'm not friends with that I could go look at.
Yeah.
And I'll check them out sometimes. It's a bunch of, and I think some about my kind of music, people send me fucking dicks all the time. And it's not like just, it's not gay. It's just like, your album fucking rocks. Here's my dick.
It's like a high five, but not.
I got dick pics for a while.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
And the problem is you can't say enough with the dick pics because then makes them.
And then they all start, then you get flooded with dicks.
I think that's bizarre.
There's no doubt that it's bizarre, but it's just kind of this new world we're living in. We're just like you said, there's no secrets. There's no nothing.
Yeah, there's totally a possible way that guys could send you dick pics on your Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not opening those. Wait, I'm not looking at those.
I just gave out Leanne's email address on accident. Will you pull that out?
Well, I got it.
I just gave Leanne's email address out on accident. Please remember to bleep that out.
I see him writing it down. He's got it.
But yeah.
He just checked the time, too. We're all good.
Nice. Thanks, babe.
Yeah, I'm really glad this interview worked out this way because...
Yeah,
because
I just want to stop for 1 second. So whoever's president 20 years from now,
yeah,
there's going to be pictures of his dick around.
Oh, I guarantee you there's
around?
Pictures of Trump's dick.
Of, yeah.
I guarantee you.
Probably, but I'm saying, but he didn't grow up in that culture.
He didn't grow up in it. But
30 years from now, the president, some woman at the time will be like, if you want to see what his dick looked like when he was 18, here you go.
Or they will have grown up in the purity ring people.
No.
No?
No one's going to be the purity ring people. Georgia, maybe. Georgia is too much of a prude. Like, she's a goody two-shoes.
She's definitely a goody two-shoes.
Isla will not.
Isla's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
But
those are our daughters, Georgia and Isla. Well, yeah.
But Isla is really modest, so we got that going for us.
Yeah, I wonder, because I'm curious now that I'm seeing you guys together, is... Having a dad who's like, because I don't have kids, but having a dad who's like a little, you know, the machine, does that make them, and your first instinct is they must be crazy, but then my real instinct is they probably pull back and are probably a little more conservative.
Well, Georgia is for sure. Georgia is really, I don't know that if it is necessarily in reaction to her dad. She's always been like rule follower, people pleaser, straight A student, like that kind of kid. I do everything right, follow the rules. That's always been who she was from when she was born. Isla's always been very loose. You know, she's hard to keep alive.
Just weird.
For the first, like, 10 months of her life. Because she was climbing on shit. She won't listen to you. She's got her own agenda. She's very stubborn. She's still kind of the same. Now, sometimes I think she gets amped up because her daddy is amped up in that way. But I don't know if Georgia is in reaction to Bert. Because the cool thing about Bert is when he gets home, he's just dad. There are times from, you know, if we go out in public and someone goes, a machine, and they know what the story is. But he's just kind of dad. He yells at them like I do.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, you know, in Nashville, you know, these kind of outlaw guys and their kids are, you know, prim and proper. You know, it's just like, you know, that's their only way to rebel is to just, you know,
go the opposite.
Get an accounting job, you know.
Dude, I saw, when I was a kid, I saw Hank Williams Jr. come up to and accept an award. And Hank 3 came up with him. And he was dressed in, like, hardcore punk rock. And I just, I remember seeing that going like, oh man. And then when I heard that he was singing country, I was like, no way. Leanne was the first one that turned me on to it. And I was like,
I saw him, he opened for Dwight Yoakam at the Greek. And I was like,
that's cool. Dwight Yoakam's one of my favorites.
Oh my God. I have every album he's ever made.
Okay, let's take a second and talk about Dwight Yoakam right now.
He is.
Because this is.
If I cheated on Bert ever, it would be with Dwight Yoakam. I love him.
By the way,
so
Dwight, that's
much.
Not a pass.
But we should try and make that happen.
I love him.
By the way, okay.
I love
you
his
can fuck
music
Dwight
forever.
Yoakam.
No.
But
I'm never cheating on you.
My example of that would be the waitress at the Dayton Funny Bone.
shut up.
How about Lindsay Pilas for Dwight Yoakam?
Oh. I think I might creep the fuck out of Lindsay. You met Lindsay.
I did.
I said to, we'll save that conversation. Liam was like, you really think she's beautiful?
Oh.
She was like so humbled. And I was like, oh, Leanne, you're pretty too.
Oh,
so we talk about Dwight Yoakam for a second. What was it that you fell in love with Dwight Yoakam about?
Dwight?
Yeah.
Was I thought he had a pretty unique voice for the time that I discovered him. I wasn't listening to country music. And I heard him. I don't know if you remember this. Whoopi Goldberg had a really late night show in the early 90s. She had like a late night talk show.
Was it called Whoopi?
I don't know. But he was on it. And I listened to him, their conversation. And he talked about kind of how he grew up. And he was really well read and really smart.
He came out to Hollywood to be an actor. And then fell in love with the Bakersfield sound.
He's a lot of Buck Owens in him. Yeah, but he's from Kentucky. And
right.
To me, it was always too like, people made fun of you from being from Kentucky. It's like, he was always my go-to. Dwight Yoakam's from Kentucky. You know?
He's from Kentucky, and then he moved to Northern California with his family, I think. But I know he was playing music at the time punk was really big, and he would follow punk bands, so they called him Punkabilly when he was first in L.A., before Guitars and
He would
and
play
Cadillac.
With, like, X and that kind of shit.
He would, right, at the Roxy.
Because at those days, wearing a cowboy hat and playing country music was punk rock in L.A., I'm sure.
Right, and then I think his rockabilly wasn't anywhere in L.A. He was kind of the only guy doing it, if I understand it right.
Yeah, and the thing that, for me, for Dwight, was that he's, really traditional country music and breaking through on a mainstream level at a time when that shit just wasn't happening anymore.
Right.
And you could learn, he would always play a Buck song or sing with George Jones or whatever that I always liked the guys who teach you about the guys before.
Yeah.
That was the big thing with the Stones, they would always they had arguments in the early days, like, we want to bring Howlin' Wolf on this TV show. It ain't that kind of show, kids. Like, then we're not going on,
Right.
Yeah.
We're in America. We want to meet Howlin' Wolf. Invite him on the show. It's like this, 300-pound black guy. It's like, it's a family show. It's like in the 60s, we don't want this. Like, no. Then we're not coming on.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. So I love that shit. Respecting what came before you, I think, is important.
And Dwight is such a diverse artist. I don't think people, if you listen to his covers album, where he did covers of all these rock songs and country songs, his interpretation of them were really awesome.
Did you hear his Purple Rain that came out kind of recently?
No, I didn't hear that.
He has I forget what it was, maybe it's more like a bluegrass album. He did like a bluegrass version of Purple Rain that's amazing.
Is it?
Really?
He's just an amazing artist. I think he's a great guitar player.
And the greatest voice, too.
Yeah, he has a great voice. So I don't know how he got on the subject of Dwight, but yeah, I listened to him talk to Whoopi, and then I bought This Time, his album,
That's a great one, yeah.
And then I bought Guitars and Cadillacs, and then I just kept buying all his
albums. Yeah, I did a covers
albums.
Night in Nashville recently and for like a charity, and you know, they were asking me, like, we were just playing old cover songs, and I'm like, just give me all the Dwight songs, because I just, I can't sing like him, but it's just all the songs I know I wanted to sing. What was the song, Ain't That Lonely Yet?
Yep, that's a great one.
I found out that was that song's about Sharon Stone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think he dated her for like a minute.
Yep.
Really?
And then like, maybe she came crawling back for a second or something. He's just like, I ain't that lonely yet.
Well, he sings a song about Mr. Peabody's Coal Mine. I think it's a cover. It's an old country song. It's on Paradise Lost, I think, or Paradise. Oh my God, it's one of my favorite songs. It's about
he's got if I name my favorite country songs, he'd be up there. And like I said, those classic country songs, most of them are written so long ago that just to have some recently is such a huge deal.
It's amazing. He redid he did one whole album called Dwight Sings Buck.
Oh, I've got that.
Oh, it's a great album. And then DwightYoakumAcoustic.net.
He did,
I love that album because they're great. Every song acoustic is just him and a guitar. Such a great album.
Is it called Paradise or I Said?
It's Paradise.
Paradise, and yeah.
Well, look up Purple Rain. I want you to hear. I want Leanne to hear that.
Okay.
I don't think I have heard that. I don't know how we started talking about Dwight.
We were just talking about cool shit.
Yeah, he is cool shit.
Yeah.
I've seen him, I don't know how many times live. Probably 12. See, it's already good. Sounds like a Dwight song.
Yeah. Right after he died, too.
That's great.
Well, I really like this.
That's fantastic.
I love Dwight Yoakam. I forgot how.
Oh, he's so great. He's so good live. Have you ever seen him live?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever heard Billy Joe Shaver, who's a hero of mine? He's one of the old outlaw guys. I saw him in Billy Joe's son actually OD'd years ago, but was Dwight's old guitar player for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Joe's the real... I mean, Billy Joe... Do you know the Waylon album, Honky Tonk Heroes?
Yes.
It's one of my favorite... Those are all Billy Joe Shaver songs.
Oh, okay.
And Billy Joe was actually... When we talk about, like, you know, what's cool about what's happened to me here and there, like, Billy Joe Shaver reached out to me and said he wanted to meet. Like, that was, like, the, you know, I mean...
What's his name? Billy Joe?
Billy Joe Shaver. He was just on trial a few years ago. People, like, I think it was even Waylon or someone was the quote was, you know, all the old outlaw country guys, they go... All outlaw country was a bunch of guys trying to pretend they were Billy Joe Shaver. He was the real fucking outlaw.
Right.
And a few years ago, he was on trial. He shot his friend in the fucking mouth.
Oh, my God.
And he got off.
What?
The guy lived.
How?
He had Willie as a character witness and a couple other guys.
Wow.
He told the judge asked if he had any regrets, and he said, yeah, I do have one that I didn't get my bullet back. And his quote was, I shot him right between the mother and the fucker.
I shot him right between the mother and the fucker.
In the mouth, I guess it didn't do that much harm. And the guy, I don't know, maybe he's not doing well now, but he didn't die. It was not a murder case.
Wow.
It was just a shooting. I think he snuck up on him or something. I don't want to give too much of the details away because I don't really know him. But yeah, I meet the guy and he's, you know, maybe three fingers. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Billy Joe Shaver is in New Braunfels, Texas, Friday, December 8th at Riley's Tavern.
That's where he should be.
I'd go watch that.
Heck yeah.
I'd go watch that.
He puts on a great fucking live show.
I bet. That's how we started talking about Dwight is Hank 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hank 3 opened for Dwight at the Greek. And I thought the stand-up bass player was going to, like, play himself off the stage. He was so good that I went home that night and told him, we have to buy this album. I didn't even know that Hank Jr. had a son that was in music. I had no idea who he was. I was absolutely blown away by that band. And then the next album came out like Hell... some Hell was the name in the album.
Yeah, I've got some of those. But yeah,
that first album, like Lovesick, Broke, and Lonely or something, was so good.
Well, I love Hank Jr. too.
I love Hank Jr. too. Hank Jr. is like defies my college years. That's all we listened to in college was Hank. What's his name? David Allen.
By the way, you know who you should listen to? Holly Williams is Hank's daughter. Hank Jr.'s daughter. I guess Hank the Third. I know her a little bit. Hank the Third's sister. I don't know how. You never know who's.
Whoa,
who's
Holly, the mom. Holly Williams? Oh, this can't be her.
I read something about her in Southern
She's really
Living.
Pretty. Yeah. She.
Wow.
Her. She's married to a guitar player.
Ooh. Right. Her middle name's Audrey.
Yeah.
I just watched that. Wasn't that Hank's. Hank Jr.'s mom's name?
I don't know.
So I watched a documentary on Hank Sr.
Where did you see that?
It was not a documentary. I watched a movie on Hank Sr.
Oh, that... Yeah, I heard they made a... The guy who made my shirt... The woman who made my shirt for my first record at the time was working on a Hank Sr. movie.
Yeah.
And she was telling... I think it must be the same movie. It's just like... Not like a low budget.
No, it was a legit Hollywood movie. It was awesome. It was really good. But Audrey got pregnant while Hank was on the road and aborted the baby because she wanted to show him. Like, she wanted to just...
Yeah, I mean,
just,
he was the real... I mean, people forget as much as Hank Sr. was influenced. He died at fucking 29.
Right, he was really... Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of
shit. How did he die? I don't remember.
I think it was just...
Skydiving, I think.
Shut up.
I'm kidding. I think that's a Jeff Ross joke, by the way. His grandmother died. They go, oh my God, how did grandma die? And he goes, skydiving. What the fuck do you think? She's a tiny...
Was it alcoholism or something?
I think it was that. I think, yeah, they found him in his car. I mean, I think it was just, you know...
Oh, hold on. I know.
Living too hard and just like, you know, catching up.
He had a back problem. And so they were prescribing him pills and boozing. And I think...
And back in those days, they didn't know what the fuck to do.
No, yeah.
They're just like, yeah, take your medicine and, you know, he's like, how much can I drink? Just drink what you want, you know.
Yeah, probably. Then no one ever told you to slow down. Holly Williams does not have any tour dates coming up. I would like to have seen her live.
Yeah, she's really good.
I saw Hank 3 live, and it was one of my favorite. I took my whole crew to go.
Someone told me that he does, when you go see him, he'll do two sets. He'll do a punk set and a country set.
He does the punk set and the country set. We left for the punk set. But we had an early call time, but we stayed for the country set, and it was great. I've always had really great experiences at country shows, more so than rock shows, because I feel like with rock shows there is a little bit of an air about them. Like you go to see Wilco, and it's more of a hipster.
Yeah, it's weird because the two are combining now, because Wilco used to play a lot of country.
Yeah.
You know? But I love country shows now just because it's with rock being pretty much dead, unless you want to go pay $500 to see Guns N' Roses. It's like.
I saw Guns N' Roses.
I saw them in high school.
I saw them for my birthday last year.
At where?
At Dodger Stadium.
How was it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I heard they still sound good.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
I want to check out his show. I actually I was out of town, but he played whatever the stadium's called where the Titans play. I always forget the company that owns it now. And Stapleton opened up, and the guy who produced my records played guitar with Stapleton on stage. I was on tour, I couldn't go, but I heard Axel got his voice back or whatever it was. Yeah. And he sounded fucking killer.
Oh, he was amazing. It was a great show.
Really,
I couldn't stand myself.
By the way,
so
one of the
excited.
Best shows I've ever seen in my life, and this is a little off brand for this conversation, was Modest Mouse, which I've never been able to find them on tour ever again. They stopped putting out albums, I think. It was they were great because they sounded like what they sounded like on the record. Like I saw Cold War Kids in concert, and they weren't as good. They were like all jammy and stuff, and I was like, play it like I fucking heard it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to just say like I just only listen to country. Like one of my favorite bands is Spoon.
Oh.
And I got an email from the guy from Spoon, is a singer, Britt, is a fan, and he came to my show in Austin. I didn't get to say hi, but he's like, you know, it sounded great.
That's really cool.
Like, that's really cool. I mean, that's the kind of cool, means as much to me as, you know, Billy Joe. Well, Billy Joe Shaver means more, I guess. Just
I want to see him live. I want to see him. I want to see. My long hair just can't cover up. David Allen Coe.
I opened up 2 days for David Allen Coe. You missed the glory days, obviously. I mean, I love the guy.
Those days are gone.
He's not in his prime. Let's just say that. I mean, I love the guy, but it's a. You know, I don't know. I don't want to talk shit about him, but
It's not. He's got to be 70 now, right?
Yeah, he's had a lot of years of hard living, but you know, he's written a song. And people, I think people like in our community kind of know that he was the guy who did Dirty Songs, and they always use him in reviews of me. But he had a legit country career with a lot of great fucking songs
that weren't dirty. Yeah,
yeah, great. I mean, he's a giant of country music. Certainly,
I agree.
You know what's interesting too is. I don't know if you guys, I'll throw some trivia at you. You know, and he would used to, he had this legit country career, and then he would kind of play these dirty songs. And Shel Silverstein was kind of hung out with that gang. He goes, you should record those dirty songs. That was his idea, Shel Silverstein.
Really?
Yeah. Shel Silverstein wrote A Boy Named Sue.
I didn't know that.
He wrote a lot of country tunes. You ever remember that band Dr. Hook?
Yeah.
That was basically a Shel Silverstein band just to play Shel Silverstein songs.
Did not know that.
Those were all Shel Silverstein tunes.
By the way, for
that's
everyone.
That's kind of amazing.
Wait, can I tell you, one of my favorite songs is a Dr. Hook song.
I Got Stoned and I Missed It?
Nope.
You know that one? That's a good one.
No, but I have Dr. Hook. I have the whole, let's see. Tell me why you think this matters to me, Leanne.
I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Tell them who we are.
Oh, you know the song?
This song, yes.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go. That sounds like us.
Yeah, they're pretty freaky for the time, too.
And we sing about you at $10,000 a show. Right. We take all kind of pills to give us.
You know what the title is?
We never know. I don't know the title, but I know the song.
The cover of the Rolling
Stone. That's right.
And it got him on the cover too.
Did it?
Yeah.
I thought I was on the cover of Rolling Stone when I was in 1997, but it was Beck. But I was in the magazine, but like that part of that article about me. Call me the number one party animal in the country.
Yeah,
but it was Beck.
Well, did they tell you? What do you mean? You thought you were on the cover?
They were like, you're going to be in Rolling Stone this month, and I got it, and I grabbed the magazine. I was like, oh my god, I'm on the cover of Rolling Stone, but it was a picture of Beck.
Oh, which is you were looking at far away.
I was looking at it right up next
He's
to me.
He's just delusional.
I'm just so delusional. Excited. Yeah. I was like, clearly I'm going to be on the cover.
Clearly.
Yeah, and it was not me at all. And but for a second I was like, oh my god, I'm on the cover of Rolling Stone. I was on the phone with my dad when I saw it. I pulled out and I go, Dad, I'm on the cover of Rolling Stone. He's like, what? I was like, I got to call you back. And then I was like, wait, that's not me. That is not me.
You should do that for your comedy album. Do a article in Rolling Stone, like a cover of it, but just do inside of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone, gonna get.
That's some good trivia. I had no idea.
Yeah, Shel Silverstein, you can buy his original music too. It's pretty good. I mean, he doesn't have a great voice, but I mean, not a classic country voice, but he does originals of all those songs.
Well, yeah, he's a great writer.
So wait, can you? I'd love for you to play another song if you could.
Yeah, I'll play one that people are digging right now. People keep yelling it to me about shows.
Here, Leanne, I think we're gonna take.
Oh no! Here.
But yeah. See, by the way, for those of you listening, this is my favorite part of the podcast. When you hear stuff moving around and you're like, oh, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, I love it because you'll probably leave it in. Most people don't.
I love leaving it in. It's the thing I love about a podcast.
Yeah.
I love when you're doing Rogan and someone's like, I got to go to the bathroom. He's like, just go. And then you get like, I told one of my favorite stories I ended up putting in my special because Rogan was taking a piss and I told his story to Redman. And I was like, oh. And then just because I was trying to kill time, and it just happened. And then I ended up putting in my special. I might immerse myself in music this next couple weeks.
Yeah,
you got
yeah.
some time off. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm out here doing some like, and maybe you can help me with this. I'll tell you what. This am I right just to say that fuck this town? I'm just. I mean, basically,
I just drove through Hollywood today. Yeah, fuck this town.
So is the thing with the Hollywood like. A contract in writing just doesn't mean shit.
Oh yeah. It doesn't mean shit at all.
I had a deal to do like a Wheeler thing, and and I'm out here talking, you know, to work on it. It's like the deal. I got it in writing to do like a Wheeler kind of special concert special. I don't know if it's gonna happen. Like, And I'm telling my people, like, you know, we have a contract to do it. They're like, that don't mean shit.
I find sometimes in Hollywood... I find sometimes in Hollywood that you just got to do it yourself. And then they go, oh, yeah, that goes under this contract.
You know what's funny is it's interesting to me because I've gotten all my success by, you know, record label saying you can't do this. Well, I'll just do it myself, put it out, and then it becomes successful. And then it's like when I do a deal with a big company out here to do a concert special and it fucking falls through, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, I'm not following my own rules.
Oh yeah, I do that too. I do that too, and then I get burned, and I'll run it by someone. Like, and I use these people a lot in conversation. I say Ari, Joey, Joe, Tom. I use them a lot in conversation only because I know that they're never gonna get mad at me for using them as an example, even if I didn't even have the conversation with them. But I'll do something traditionally, like fly in earlier for radio. And I'll get fucked in some way, and then I'll bring it up to them and be like, dude, you know the rule. Like, what? Like, why are you even doing that? But I believe
TV, you know, I wanted to do a last waltz kind of thing for.
Yeah, TV is where I get fucked.
The problem is, you know, we're still not in TV where we are in music. They still own the airways. There's no independent, like. Route for, you know, you could put on YouTube, right. Which is, I don't want to do that.
Right.
I'd like it to be seen by people, you know, but
right.
These people are just fucking me over and it's pissing me off.
Is there any space for a live concert on Netflix?
I think that's what we're going to look next, I guess. I don't know. I mean, Netflix, if you're out there, I just got fucked over and it's available.
Well, yeah, I think that they are, again, the establishment that play by in one lane I'm not in this industry. I just observe it. My observation is there's very little creativity and very little motivation in that corporate
part.
And
also, like, the downside of them fucking over Wheeler Walker Jr.
Is nothing for them.
That's coffee for them.
Exactly.
They shits,
there's,
you know,
no motivation and there's no creativity.
But there is, kind of over here, it's like there is problems if they do it and it fucking loses money. That's where they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes.
But just bailing on you and stop returning your phone calls, you know, that's a day in the life, it sounds.
I think it's pretty typical. And I think there's a lot of people in the television world, again, from my observation, that just can't see outside the box. And if I think it's a rarity that you get somebody who thinks outside the box and put something on TV that's not already on TV. You know,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, like, it seems like an industry where it's like, oh, this is new, and they go, oh, shit. Everyone else in the world, you go, you got to hear this. You got to see this. It's completely different. And here, that's an insult, you know.
It's scary.
It's scary,
because of what you're talking about. If it fails,
I
want to
invite all these
to
fuckers to the L.A. show with 2,000 people screaming, you know.
Right.
And whipping their titties.
I'll be there.
You guys want tickets, right?
Oh, yeah.
100%. 100%. That's going to be a blast. I want to call Burr, see if Burr wants to go. Burr would love it.
Yeah, Bill came to the show we did at the Troubadour last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Burr. I've been texting with Burr about going out drinking. I think that would be a fun drink.
Yeah, he's a fan. He's been really good to me. Like, just
see if we get a good posse, like me, Burr, Rogan, Segura, Ari, Joey.
Joey's going to come, I think.
Yeah, that'll be funny shit.
I was thinking about, I mean, the problem, I wanted to have maybe one of you guys open, but the problem is, and I don't like talking money, but like, from what I'm and I didn't ask you guys about this for people listening. It wasn't like we had discussions about it, but it's like, it sounds like what I pay an opener is like nowhere. I mean, I just can't even compete. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, don't even give me like your number, but like, what's a working comic gets for a weekend at clubs?
The guys I just said probably a lot, but, I don't know. It would be hard to say. I wouldn't want to give out what those guys make.
Not what they make, but I'm just saying like.
Like, you mean like, you could pay an opener $700.
I would pay way more than that. I'd pay more than that, but I'm saying I think what I think would be good money would be an insult to to you guys or something. You know, I don't.
So like, no, you would never be able to reach Bill's number or Joe's number or even, I guess.
Well, yeah, I'm talking like, you know, yeah. I mean, but.
Well, what number do you think? It's not $700. What number do you think is a good number?
It's four shows. Like, if I paid a comic to open up for me, four shows.
Well, you should just.
I'm saying four shows, $12,000. Would that be
Oh, that's dope. That's more than enough.
That's more than enough.
Any comic in his right mind.
I'm not saying that I definitely have that money, but that's what I'm thinking about.
That's what you're thinking? Yeah. Well, the thing, too.
Any comic to stay in the city and go to your shows and hang out?
Well, the problem is it's a four show. It's to be that San Diego, Santa Ana.
Phoenix. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could definitely find that. That is very, 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 very,
very
That's
not doable. An insult.
No. No, that's not.
Well, you have to think about it this way. There's a benefit for the comic who gets 2,000 of your fans to see their comedy. So it's a win-win in a
that's
sort
right,
of
but
way.
But I never think of it like that because to me it's like they're doing me a favor.
No.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
You do each other
look,
favors.
Look, I just did the Impractical Jokers Cruise, which was 4 days, for less than I would get paid doing a regular show or 4 days of anything. But I did it because Stanhope had been on it the year before. Ari was going on it. Tony Hinchcliffe, like a lot of guys were going on it that I want. Sarah Tiana, Voss, Vecchione, all these guys were going on it, and the Impractical Jokers. And I was like, wow, it's an opportunity to hang out with a bunch of comics for a weekend, and it's an opportunity that these guys are gifting me to show my stand-up to their fans, where you could theoretically accrue, you know, a bunch of new fans.
The other thing, too, is, you know, I'll just use Joey as an example, but like, if I had Joey open up the shows, he can get me more promo from his fucking podcast,
right,
mentioning it once a week, than Golden Voice is the promoter, than they can get from fucking...
Oh.
I think they're going to give me a billboard or something. Like, his podcast would be bigger than any fucking billboard.
Joey would... Right. Yeah, there would be a lot of people that would be like, this is the show I want to see.
Right.
Yeah, I just think... I mean...
And I won't quote Joey's numbers, but I know Joey, and for Joey to not have to get on a plane, Joey would... I don't know
he would
Joey,
have to... He had, Phoenix is a bit of a drive, but not bad, right?
Yeah, but Joey's like, dog, I just want to be able to see Mercy. That's it.
Yeah, he's he'll have Lee drive to Phoenix, probably.
Oh, there's a lot of options in that. Like,
yeah,
in that.
I thought it'd be, like, I'm not saying you're not in the group, but I just think my audience would fucking flip for Joey.
They'd lose everyone's audience. By the way, my audience flips for Joey.
Yeah.
My audience, the number one thing they say to me, the top three things they say to me, number one is thanks for the free content. I love hearing that. Cause I go, it's not, I'm not doing it for free. Like I'm getting advertisers, but I understand that you feel like it's for free. And so that it means a great deal that you think, but I'm really in, like I said earlier, my podcast is a passion project. I enjoy this more than they're enjoying it.
And don't forget, man. I mean, you've turned a lot of people, like I've been doing a podcast since you talked me, you explained me how to do
it. Yeah.
And we wouldn't have I just had Lance Armstrong on. Yeah. I was in Austin. He was a fan, wanted to do it. We had Stapleton on. We had Dierks Bentley, like big guys.
That's awesome.
Fuck.
And it's been, and it's getting number. I mean, like, it's definitely enough that because I get sick of it some weeks, and my people are like, no, dude, it's getting numbers. You know, worth your time to do.
I was that way. Great. I was that way at the beginning of my podcast. But the other thing they always say when they come up to me after my shows is, can you get Joey to come to this city? That's the number one thing people
is
say.
It really?
Like one of the top three things. You'll go to Omaha. Like I had nothing to do with getting Joey booked in Omaha, but I definitely so many people said it to me in Omaha. So many people said it that I said it to Colleen, and Colleen heard it so much that she reached out and was like, "Yo, I need Joey Diaz here. That would be a really fun match, you and Joey."
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened is, you know, sometimes I'll talk to I need to talk to the people themselves instead of my fucking, you know, country managers in Nashville who they go, like, their instinct is like, you know, he can fucking sell out 2,000 people by himself. He doesn't need your, you know, he doesn't need you.
Yeah.
So I don't need them to talk me. Why don't I just, you know, have them, you know, whatever. It works. My thing is, my thing is that as long as I don't give them an insulting, because I love Joey, I just don't want to give him an insulting offer.
No. I think, first of all, they're.
And I don't, like I said, I don't want to talk about numbers on the podcast, but. I just don't want to, the original goal is always I'd love to, you know, show some great country up there, but it's hard to get country guys, there's so few country artists I like, it's hard to get them to come out west for four shows.
Yeah.
They got to travel, bring their whole band, you know.
More expensive, probably,
yeah, it's just like the number whatever number it is, they're already losing $1,000.
Right.
Already, so plane tickets, and they got to rent equipment out here. And I've tried, you know, giving them, you can use my equipment, blah, 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 or use my band even, but just like, it's just too fucking hard, you know.
Can I tell you one of the things I've always wanted to do, secret time, is I've wanted to write an album in earnest, like, and really write an album, and release it, knowing people will laugh at what I think is really heartfelt. And since, like...
Well, like a comedy
album? Don't you know the Creed guys?
Yeah, yeah. I know Scott. Scott's in Nashville.
Is he?
Yeah, Scott's in Nashville. I mean, maybe I shouldn't give his business out, but yeah, he moved to Nashville. I'm sure he's got to have said that somewhere.
Oh, he'll have a really bad country album out soon.
No, he's... oh, but I wrote a song... I wrote a song one time called Mary Margaret that I played so much, and my friends would, I'd play and they would simply laugh at me playing it, but they'd laugh behind my back. They'd be like, oh my God, it's so fucking bad. So I was like, maybe one day I'll write an album and maybe I'll go out and I'll tour it. Honestly, like,
well, you've got all those hookups. I mean, I was making fun. I mean, to me, I've got all these other outlets, all these places, podcasts especially, but there's something to be said too about, radio still is a big fucking thing. Like, we played Kansas City, and there's a DJ there named Johnny Dare. I don't know if you know the guy.
I know Johnny Dare. I just talked to him the other day on the phone. Shout out to Johnny Dare.
Johnny Dare, how are you, man? I need your number, by the way, Johnny, if you're listening. One of his producers took all my songs and just bleeped them. On their own, because I don't make censored versions. And he just started playing it, and he just loves it. So we had a gig in Kansas City. It was like 300, and the promoters call, like, we got to bump it up to the next bigger club, 500. The next thing, by the time they got to the biggest club in Kansas City, the biggest club they could find was 1300 and sold it out.
Wow.
Just because of one DJ in one town.
That's amazing.
I think it's Jake. I'll text, I'll get you guys in touch.
Yeah. We talked and we hung out. Awesome dude. And same thing happened in Cincinnati too. This guy, Kid Chris, who used to be on Stern.
I know Kid Chris very well.
Yeah, and he started doing the same thing. Because I used to say as a joke when people interview me, like, you know, give me a censored version. I go, if you want to play it that bad, go fucking bleep it yourself.
Yeah.
Some of these DJs fucking did it. And we did a 1,200-seat theater in Cincinnati.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, to me, I just think of radio as old news, but it's still a big...
What it is isn't what it used to be.
It's not national,
but it still is.
Local.
Kevin and Bean, Cowhead, Elliot, Kid Chris, Johnny Dare. I mean, I could go through and name them all.
Paul and Young Ron.
Paul and Castronova.
Sorry, Castronova.
And no, Young Ron left. He retired. But there's still a lot of great.
Yeah, I did Kevin and Bean when my first album came out. It's just a weird. I mean, I think doing country. A country guy on their show is kind of weird for them, but maybe I got to call him again about these shows. But yeah, I mean, what's weird is, you know, those guys who will play it and they come to the show, because a lot of them, I like to have them, you know, introduce me at the show because the local community knows them. And in my head, I'm like, oh shit, hanging out with some, you know, doofus, you know, morning shock jock. And my experience has been these guys have been really fucking cool.
They're always really cool. Some of them are my closest friends.
And a lot of them are really fucking, you know, it's a radio voice and they're really chill and they're cool. You know, it's like, I guess I also forget too, they got to get up at 3:30 to, you know, they're not, you know.
And you know, you have such an ingrained group of, like when I say loyal fans, and I'm not talking about the ones that go to your show. I'm talking about the ones that are, like us comics, like Rogan, Joey, me, Segura, like guys who legit are like support you in earnest, that when we put out stuff of yours online, all those guys know us and follow us because we do their radio shows and they're like, oh shit, they get like an inside track to something cool.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I mean, I spend a lot of time on Twitter, you know, it's like a fun thing we do. I just rip on fans and we go back and forth, but I got a lot of, it's been cool to see so many passionate fans, you know, it's like what when we sell merch at shows, they do it by like per head,
yeah.
You know, like how many dollars per person you sold in merch, and we're fucking breaking merch records at these shows. These people go
That's
and they
great.
Just buy everything. Yeah. I mean, it's been really cool to watch it, you know, and watching the fans who are that passionate about it, who are, you know, you know, you get to sound check at 3:00 and they're sitting out there waiting. It's like, guys, there's a bar next door. I go on, like, I got to sound check. I got to eat dinner, take a shit, shower. Like, we got a long time for this show. Like, I'll make sure you get up front. It's not that big of a fucking deal, you know.
Well, let's play another song. I got to get ready to go to Rogan's soon. I'm going to Rogan's now, so we'll be talking about you on Rogan today.
Cool, man.
And we'll post this today.
Will you play this Leanne clip on Rogan of her... saying my dates. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I wish we had it in time.
But this is posting today?
Yeah, I'm going to post this. We're going to post this afternoon at...
Oh, I got the dog at the fucking... Joey with the left hook and then Bert with the right hook this week.
Oh, it's going to be...
Double down.
Yeah. I call it spiking on Google Trends.
I guess maybe I'll spike. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, maybe we sold... So tell all my people to fuck off. I sold some tickets. I don't want to dedicate this to Leanne because it's called Drunk Sluts, but this is...
That was my past life.
It's in honor of you.
Awesome.
Check it out. I'll give you guys... We got Wheeler walking
through
the pitch.
Oh, hell yeah.
How cool.
Never sure quite what they wanna hear. They're all hitting up the club, drinking real expensive bub. All I really wanted was a beer. Drunk sluts, they're driving me. Hold the liquor so they stick a bunch of dicks in their butts. When I was younger, used to be, no gal would ever cheat on me. Now I only seem to meet drunk sluts. They say the girls coming up these days are looser. One date with them, they'll let you spend a night. I click on the internet, watch a million different porno clips. So far I ain't seen the same girl twice. Drunk sluts, they're driving me nuts. Can't hold the liquor, so they stick a bunch of dicks in their butts. When I was younger, used to be, no gal would cheat on me. Now I only seem to meet drunk sluts. I know I'm getting older, but every gal can't be like these. Don't get me wrong, I like to fuck, but it's easier sometimes to pee. Girls these days want the DJ, not the singer. Some douchebag scratching dressed up like a moose. I'm too distracted to flirt. They're all wearing real short skirts. If I squint, I can pretty much see their cooch. Drunk sluts, they're driving me nuts. Can't hold the liquor, so they stick a bunch of dicks in their butts. When I was younger, used to be, no gal would ever cheat on me. Now I only seem to me, doesn't give a shit to me. Now I only seem to me, drunk sluts.
That was awesome.
How'd that sound? Okay.
That was awesome.
A little early for me, but yeah, between those two we play, you can see kind of thematically where I'm going.
Here. I do. Yeah, yeah.
A man lost. Yeah.
Dude, I think, you know, I've said this for a long time. I think you're absolutely fucking brilliant.
Thanks, man.
You're one of my favorite people to ever listen to, watch everything you do. I've always loved
it. Well, I mean, the feeling's mutual. I mean, I love what you're doing. And, you know, I kind of talked about it on Joey last night. I mean, I don't mean to compare you and Joey, but what I love about each of you is, like, what I love about Joey is growing up in Kentucky, like, there's no Joey Diaz.
No, he's a foreign object.
Exactly. And that's what I love about him. But what I love about Bert is there's a Bert type guys in Kentucky, but there's no Bert.
Bert per se, yeah.
There's, and most of the Bert type guys can be fucking, they don't have the heart of Bert.
Right.
I don't got to tell his wife that. She knows that. But, you know, it's like there's something about Bert, and I'm talking to you like you're not here, but like your personality was like, it's the kind of guys I tended to not like, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's like the, you know, the, I don't know. I mean, you've gotten this a bunch. I'm sure the lovable party guy. I mean, I love it. I love what you do. And, you know, it means a lot that you're into what I do. So.
Well, what's cool about your music is I swear to God, everybody, there are so many people that feel this way about women that they, why are they doing that? Why are they so slutty? Why are they drinking so much? Why are they taking pictures of their pussy?
Well, where this song is coming from. It's just like, I'm like, I don't like it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's where
it's not what I'm looking for.
What people don't misunderstand about my music. I'm like, they see the title Drunk Sluts and they think I'm going to be writing about like, fuck it, I love drunk sluts, love fucking right. up the butt. It's like, no.
Like it's a misogynistic take on it.
Yeah, it's right. not. It's the opposite. It's just right. like, I want the old-fashioned girls, you know?
Totally. I like where you're going. I like where you're going artistically. I feel like I connect with it super. I wish people sent me pussy pics.
I'm maturing, you know?
Yeah.
As all good artists should do.
I'm maturing, but I refuse to tame my language. Joey is convinced I'm going to do a clean album soon, but we'll see.
Well, hey, you know for a fact it is an open invite. Anytime you ever want to do my podcast, just let me know when, and we'll set it up.
Well, that was awesome to, you know, because we just talked yesterday, and you're like, I got an opening tomorrow morning. I'm like, yeah. I'm fucking there.
Yeah, dude, I'm so excited.
I'm in town getting projects rejected, so I got time. Actually, I wouldn't even say that. I'm getting projects not rejected. I'm getting deals just cut in half. You know, they're just ripping them up. I'm here to work.
Yeah.
And there's no work. The fucking project's gone.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck them. I'll get something better.
That's someone with a lack of foresight.
Well, if we go out partying tonight, I'll hit you up.
Yeah, let me know.
So we can all hang out. It would be cool to see.
Yeah, let's do a big party for the show, too.
Yeah, yeah. December 3rd here in L.A. Novo.
The Novo. I don't know what it is. Downtown somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming to the show, definitely. I'm in the Calusa Casino that weekend. That's Saturday or that Friday, I think.
But you'll be back Sunday?
I'm back. I'm probably there Friday, and I fly back Saturday morning.
Okay, cool.
So I'll be there. I'll get a big posse. I'll send a group text to Rogan and Burn, everyone.
Just let me know, and then I'll put everyone on the list.
No,
thank you.
I appreciate it, man. This has, by the way, been an exceptionally fun podcast. I did not expect Leanne to be a part of it.
I don't want to do it without Leanne.
I'm so glad you were. I bet there's a lot of people that are going to be like, hey, man, have her on the podcast more often. She asks insightful questions.
That's why
it was a good mix.
You
know, it was a good mix.
It was a great mix.
Well, I just happen to know more about country music than Bert.
I was going
to
say, I was like, where were you last time? This is my question.
I'm not always invited.
Yeah, well, this one worked out perfectly.
It did. I'm really glad I got to be here.
I like talking about Loretta and shit, and people know what I'm talking about.
I'm for sure.
I think
that
there's so many people that people are going to now Google and be like, I got to get that Dwight song. I want to check out some
Dwight Yoakam's a fucking
Holly
man.
Williams. It's been a blast, man.
I love you guys, and I appreciate it, and it means a lot. And like I said, I don't have to get up early and do radio because I got the fucking. What are your fans? The Burt Army or something? Let's give them
the Cogs of the Machine.
Cogs of
the Machine. We'll be coming out with visors soon.
No, beanies.
Beanies.
Yeah, that was it.
I want old school visors, but I can't find them. Like, I want the big brimmed visors. But
yeah,
my
guys are all, you know, are old school country managers. So they have this whole formula. Just like the key to merch for them is make the cheapest thing that you can sell for the most. But like, they would shoot me down like a visor or a beanie so fast because that shit's expensive to make.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I just want to make cool shit.
I want cool shit.
We're the opposite.
I want to wear it too.
We're the opposite of that.
Exactly. It's like, I don't care if I make 25 cents a
That's so
a
exactly
thing.
The
I'd
way
rather
we
get
run our
more
merchandise.
People out to get my stuff.
So I mean, Bert's manager all the time is like, you're selling your merch too cheap. But Bert's like, if somebody's got a $20 bill in their hand, they'll buy a t-shirt.
And also, too, that's, but, as I, now I'm sure you say the same thing. That's a walk-in billboard.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a walk-in billboard. And we buy expensive, we buy American Apparel, like, expensive shirts, because you want it to look good.
People remember if they buy a t-shirt from you and it rips apart in after three washes.
Or it feels like sandpaper.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to, and it's the exact size of a square.
Yeah, no one's going to fucking wear it.
No, it's a waste of everybody's time and money.
Yep.
Makes
no sense. Yeah, I've been trying to be good about that, making sure I'm putting out quality.
I need to get a Willie Walker Jr. shirt.
We're actually wait on that because we'll have some new ones for these shows.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't.
Man, I tell you what, I can't go to a rock or a music venue and not buy at least three shirts. Like I am the guy that buys.
We'll send you like a care package. Shit.
Dude, I would love that. Yeah. I would love to rock one of your shirts.
So. I got your address because I came here. So we'll send you a box of shit.
We'll reciprocate.
Yeah.
If you want machine stuff.
The machine hoodie is the most comfortable fucking hoodie I've ever put on in my entire fucking life.
It's amazing.
It's a great comfy Sunday afternoon, sit in the house. It's winter, but I'm just going to go get coffee, maybe take a couple shits, eat a pizza. Oh, it's the best.
I was going to say, I need a good shit hoodie.
It's a good one. Doesn't everybody need a good shit hoodie?
Yeah. On that note, everybody, hey, I can't wait. We'll be December 3rd. We're going to be there.
Awesome.
I'm sending out a group text.
You're the
awesome.
Best.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you.
Leanne, I ain't doing this podcast again without you.
Next time we'll all get drunk.
Yeah.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.